Okay, looks like it's recording. Okay, sorry, welcome
about this. I don't know why my internet has been so slow. Okay.
We'd like to welcome everybody out to the Community Impact Board meeting of January 7th, 2021. I agree with Mayor Baker. It's glad to say 21 instead of 20. New year, new optimism, new things going on. I know Bruce just said what hard things make us strong. I'd prefer to be weak. I'm going to be weak this year if that means we don't have to do any more hard things. So, but we appreciate everybody joining us virtually again. We've been on a 9-month streak here, I think. Hopefully at some future point we'll be getting back together, but appreciate everybody's patience as we continue to do this electronically. Let's start with our briefing and turn some time over to Candace for that item.
Thank you. In case you don't know, because you've looked at your calendar, we've already talked about the calendar. It's January 7th, which is the first trimester of, or the second review meeting of the second trimester of fiscal year 2021. There are 6 new projects, 1 large infrastructure application, 1 supplemental request, and 1 request for special consideration to be discussed at today's meeting. Projects will be placed on the priority list today, as suggested by the board. Final funding will be authorized at the February 4th, 2021 CIB funding meeting. The application form allows the applicant to request a funding package, as always, but funding tools median request is now listed on the financial listing. So what you see there is the tools suggested median range and how it will affect the final dollars as of today's revenue. So this is what you're looking at, is what the fund will look like if everything is funded in the median range. You'll notice that the major infrastructure set aside has a listing in red, but it should be noted that the board, when they make a motion, can authorize funding from the bonus fund, and staff will also accommodate that. So we really never will be in the red. But if everything is taken out of the major infrastructure as it was requested on the application form, we pretty much used it up. The major infrastructure revenue is mineral lease revenue, so it can go out as grant and loans. So we'd kind of like to leave it as just that one color of money, which is the mineral lease fund. The bonus fund is healthy, and as a reminder, those listening, the bonus fund must be allocated as a loan and bear an interest rate. The board is tasked with keeping the funds revolving, and for a while now, the revenue is coming in from historical loans allocated from the mineral lease account, so there's not a whole lot of new revenue. The price of a barrel of oil yesterday was $49 a barrel, 49 and some change, which is up a little bit, but that's our revenue source, and these mineral lease revenues come from resources developed on federal land in the state of Utah. So as those leases are, as that resource is developed on those federal lands, then this fund is built up again to do the major infrastructure and the infrastructure around the areas of the state that can utilize this fund. Thank you for being with us today, and that's at a glance what today's meeting is about.
Great. Thank you, Candace. Let's do a roll call vote of board members present. Pam?
I'll do the roll call vote.
Okay. Pam, drop off.
Oh, thank you.
She's David there. Damson will be marked as absent. Mr. Galecki?
Here.
Greg, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Said
I said here.
Thank you. Good morning. Commissioner Ogden?
Yes, I'm here.
Commissioner Lytle?
I don't see him on, Pam.
Pam, did we lose you?
Okay, Commissioner, I'm sorry, Mayor Baker.
We're here. What's the total students?
Oh, I'm here. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I think there's just
sometimes
a lag.
Pam, do you want me to do the roll call vote or roll call? I will continue. Kyle Stevens?
Here.
Commissioner Dalton?
Here.
Commissioner Hansen?
Here.
Commissioner Adams?
I'm here.
I apologize. My internet is really, really bad.
We're just going to have
Candace
continue.
Candace, can you continue?
I'm here.
Okay, we've got them all, Pam.
Okay, thanks for joining us. We have a quorum present ready to conduct business. Let's move on to the approval of minutes from December.
Thank you.
10th, 2020. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Commissioner Ogden. I approve the minutes.
Second, Kyle Stevens.
So I've got a motion from Mr. Zanotti, a second from Commissioner Ogden to approve the minutes of December 10th, 2020. Further discussion to that motion? Hearing none, we'll do a voice vote on this one. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Those are approved unanimously. Before we get started on our new projects, just a heads up as we review all of these, there is going to be a discrepancy between what we would normally see from DEQ recommendations, so we'll see those. But our tool is spitting out something significantly different because water and sewer projects, as analyzed by DEQ, there's a pretty clear formula on how they recommend those funding packages to be delivered. A lot of it depends on the ability to repay. When we kind of worked on our tool in the summer, we made that. It's certainly a criteria, but it's a lesser criteria under our tool. So, to keep consistency with water and sewer projects we've been doing, we should be following the DEQ stuff, but that's not what our tool is spitting out right now. So we may need to discuss some modifications to our tool, but as we review these recommendations, I want everybody to keep that in mind that we have traditionally done our water and sewer stuff according to DEQ guidelines. The problem is if we move forward with our tool, all of a sudden we're creating a program where all water and sewer projects will be coming to the CIB because there's better terms than what they would be getting from DEQ. So I want to put that out there, make sure everybody understands the context of this conversation. So in the project summary sheet, what is in the packet is what the tool suggests, but you'll also see the DEQ analysis. So we really need to focus in on that. And I'll just mention this first project, Johnson Water Improvement District. I am going to recuse myself from this. Mr. Taylor is a relative of as my wife's uncle. So I'm going to let Keith run the discussion for the first project, and then I'll jump back in after that. So, Keith, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. Happy New Year, everyone. Good to be with you. Candace, would you start us off with the briefing on this project, please?
Yes, thank you. Today, the number one on today's list of applications is Johnson Water. It is for water system improvements. It's the Pleasant Valley Loop Line. When they originally applied, they applied for a little bit more expanded project, but they've pared this down. The request is for $1,748,150. Their request is for a $700,000 loan, 30 years at 0%, and a $1,048,150 grant. This is in Duchesne County. They have applicant cash of $100,000. This project consists of water system improvements on the Pleasant Valley Loop system to include all the appurtenances that would occur with this project. From the DEQ review, there are 753 residential connections. There are approximately 30 connections on the southern end of the system known as Pleasant Valley that have little or no pressure during peak flow system or flow conditions. Johnson Water Improvement District has several other connections which are high water users. This number of high users has inflated the income of the water system, indicating they collect $72.42 per month per connection, while showing that they need to charge $53.13 per month per connection. This is according to the DEQ review. They are collecting enough income to cover the additional debt, as stated in the DEQ review. This is a good project. From the public hearing minutes, the board said we need to make sure that we have everyone on the line annexed into Johnson Water District. I would suggest that the board ask for an explanation of that, who is actually connected to the Johnson Water System, and are these original connections, or are they creating new connections? This, again, I'll restate that this application was revised on January 5th, and it now includes the Pleasant Valley Loop line. And with that, I turn it over to the applicant.
Thanks, Candace. Dixon, Dusty, we'll give you guys a chance to tell us about the project, if you wouldn't mind. Dixon, you're on mute. There you go.
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Dixon Taylor, the manager of Johnson Water, and in the room with me are four of the board members and representatives from Sunrise Engineering. Just to give you a little background, Johnson Water, we have about 950 total connections, and of that, about 800 to 900 are active. And we serve residents of Duchesne and Uinta counties. About 8% of our connections are in Uinta County. So we straddle a line between both those counties. Because a large portion of our water has historically been sold to oil production companies, they basically subsidized our system for many years, and they've, because of the volume of water that is sold to them, it has benefited the residential and commercial customers by helping keep their rates low. And as well as because we sell so much water, it benefits the Duchesne Valley Treatment Plant, because they have fixed costs they have to meet, and then the more water we run through, the less it costs per 1,000 gallons. So we benefit not only Johnson Water, but other water districts and cities and towns in Duchesne County with reduced costs. But because of the boom and bust cycle of the oil industry, we have to plan ahead and save up when we're in a boom time, and save for when we go into a bust cycle. Anyway, that's kind of a background of where we're at. This project is to loop this system in Pleasant Valley. There was a question about whether this would provide new connections. There's possibility for a few new connections, but the major reason is to bring this part of our system up to drinking water standards. There's been an increased use of livestock watering out in that area, and the line was put in 50 years ago in 1971, and it starts out as an 8-inch and reduces to 6, then to 4, and then to 3, and then to 2. And so down at the very end, they only have a 2-inch line, and that down at the end is where most of the livestock is. So when there's a big demand, the water pressure drops almost to the point of being in violation of drinking water standards. So we need to alleviate that situation, and that's what this line would do. But it also would allow us to add additional connections, and on the 8-inch portion of this, we potentially could add even more. But there's not a real lot of growth going on down there, so I don't anticipate a lot of connections in the near future. But it is also the general area where the proposed Uinta Basin Railroad goes through. So that could potentially impact that in the future, because that could possibly provide water at the end of that railroad. But remains to be seen if that's going to take place. But anyway, that's the summation of the project. If you have any questions, we'd be glad to try and answer them.
Thank you, Dixon. For all the applicants, just as a matter of protocol, please remember to state your name before you speak for the record. Otherwise, it may not end up properly recorded in the minutes, and obviously that's very important. So appreciate that review. I have one question to get things kicked off, Dixon. In the Pleasant Valley service area that we're primarily talking about, it looks like you have about 30 connections presently. So is that basically the number of direct beneficiaries on this project, or are there others that I'm not seeing?
No, that's pretty much the total of direct beneficiaries is those 30 connections, yeah.
And a whole lot of cows.
I didn't hear the last part. What did you say?
I just said, and a whole lot of cows.
Right, yeah.
Pam and Candace, I don't see the hands function on my screen because I'm not a host. So if one of you are, help me out. So let's turn to the board for questions. Any questions or comments from board members?
If the board will just unmute and proceed to speak, I do not see the hands either because I'm not host.
Okay. So a little bit of a free call.
Commissioner Adams, I'd like to ask a question, Keith.
Go ahead. Okay. Thank you.
He mentioned that there was over 900 connections, but I wasn't quite clear on what he was indicating when he said there may be only 800 active connections, maybe a little deeper explanation into the difference between the 900 and some connections and the nearly only 800 active connections. I need a little explanation on that. Thanks.
Sure. There are a number of connections that for various reasons are not currently being used. So we have about 950 connections, but about 50 to 75 of those are currently not being used and haven't been used for some of them for years. Some people bought connections, had them installed, and have never used the water. And so they're just saving them for a future development or some future use. Others use them for a while and then they've been shut off for a number of years. But that's
So that means they don't pay any fee, monthly fee. They're just banking that connection for future when the connection fee may go up or something.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I've noticed that Commissioner Jack Lytle has joined us, so let the minutes reflect that he's on the call in the meeting, and it looks like he has a question. So, Commissioner Lytle.
Hi. Jack Lytle, representing the Uinta Basin or UBAG. Thank you. I apologize for my tardiness in getting connected. I'll move to the question, but did anybody, may I ask for your patience on this? I wasn't able to get on before the minutes were done. Did somebody catch the fact that the Scipio, was it Scipio? Or Glenwood mentioned Uinta County as it where it stood. Did that get caught in the minutes?
No.
Where it said on page 6, 4.1, UNA should be replaced with Sevier County, I believe, if it's Glenwood.
Okay. Staff will make a note of that and make that correction. Thank you, Commissioner.
I apologize for being out of the order of things. I had one question for Johnson, to at least to start with. Right now, the company has a heavy reliance on, at least fiscally, on the commercial hookups. Have you done anything to look at your rate structure to spread that out so that if you have any more issues with your contracts, that it won't put you in a bad spot as far as some of your commercial users that aren't paying unless they use the water, but there's no base rate?
Yeah, we just had a rate increase hearing, and we're working on the rate increases. On our big industrial customers, our biggest customer, we have a contract with them where they buy a certain amount of water every month. But basically, our rates are going to increase by about 14% when we get it all finished off. Does that answer your question? I'm not sure.
I think so. In terms of your heavy reliance on the commercial side, just wondered how, if you were looking at how to balance that out and remain fiscally functional, I guess.
Yeah. Well, most of our industrial water is bought by three different companies, and we have a contract with one that sells water to them at a lower price because they pay us every month. The other ones are on a they pay for the water that they use, but they pay a substantially higher price. And so, but all of those look like they're going to have to be raised up the same percentage points.
Right. And my point, I guess, is recognizing none of us know what the future is, but just the sustainability of those commercial entities relative to oil and gas, just trying to see what kind of planning you've done to anticipate either a better market or the market that we're in or worse.
Yeah, we try to anticipate what the future is going to bring, and that's why we have a fairly good bank account to tide us over in hard times, but it's hard to predict. I mean, the oil field uses a lot of water, and they'll tell us that they're going to use some water, and then it's either delayed or sped up, and they make decisions very quickly, and they change, and it's hard to predict how much water they're going to use in a year or in next week, you know, because they're so tied to the market, I guess, and the decisions that they make are based on the price of oil and everything.
Dag Dixon, can I add something? This is Dusty Monks from Johnson Water. I had one comment to add on to that.
Go ahead, Dusty.
So we have, during this process of considering a rate increase, we've employed an extensive rate study and showing the impacts of the commercial versus our standard residential agriculture customers. And we did a lot of what-if scenarios to evaluate what we need to do in form of rates. We did part of those scenarios. We did, you know, eliminating the commercial almost exclusively, seeing what that would look like for the district. We did clear the other end of the spectrum, and after all that study, we came to a conclusion of what Dixon mentioned, that we were comfortable with a rate increase in the percentages that we are looking at right now.
Thank you, Dusty. I'd like to thank Brenda Brown for helping me out with the raised hands. She's sending me messages. So next we have Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Keith. Mr. Dixon, I have a question about your Ledge Lane water tank. What kind of issues you're facing or you're associated with that tank that is not usable?
That part of the application is the part that was taken out. But to answer your question, we have that tank is one of our main tanks that we use, and there's just a constriction in the line. It goes from a 12-inch line to an 8-inch line before it goes in there. So that part was to increase that line so we could get more water into the tank and more water out of the tank so we could circulate more water through that tank more easily. Right now we're suffering from the effects of the Dollar Ridge fire. The treatment plant, as you know, because I think you funded part of it, is a plant improvement project. But we have organic material that's in the water, basically, and it eats up all the chlorine. And so we have to run the water faster through the system because there's a shelf life in the water before the chlorine dissipates. And so the running it faster through the system allows us to get chlorine to the ends of the lines. And we have to flush our lines occasionally in order to get that chlorine down there. So that's all part of getting better distribution of the water through the system to keep it a better quality water and to keep it up to state standards of having chlorine residual out to the ends of the lines. Once they get the plant done, they assure us that the chlorine should last longer in our lines and it should be a better situation. But right now we're still battling the battle of keeping chlorine out to the ends of our system.
Thank you.
Let's go to Mr. Galecki.
Thank you, Keith. A couple questions. You mentioned a rate study. When was that conducted?
It was done in February of last year.
Oh, so it's real recent. That's good. And then your impact fees. What are your impact fees for like new connections and such?
I think it's $2,500 off the top of my head. I think that's what it is.
Okay. And then I know this was on the capital improvement list, but when was your last master plan done?
2019.
Oh, so that's all real current too. I guess some of those questions, the reason I was asking, is that, you know, you look at the list and, you know, Johnson's Water comes in just about every single year and gets, you know, real good, you know, favorable terms. And so I guess I want to remind the board of that. And that, you know, the struggles that you have, you know, we're going to see that, you know, the concerns are not only with that, but, you know, within the coal industry, you know, potential of, you know, changes with administration, they may, you know, revenue from that may be depleting in the future so that, you know, we have to be concerned about protecting the fund and make sure it continues to grow. I see you're retiring $67,000 of debt, you know, by 2025. Was that included at all? I mean, is that considered at all when, as far as affordability for your application?
Yes, that we talked that over, and that was considered in our request. Yes.
And then, did I hear you right that, you know, a lot of the water goes to livestock? And that you're actually sending chlorinated water to livestock?
You can't separate the water to livestock from the humans, so yeah.
Right. But I guess that's all figured out in the water rights and such. That's interesting that sending culinary water to livestock.
Well, see, this is an area out in the desert. The only water available is what comes through irrigation. And in the off season, when the irrigation lines shut down, the only option they have is culinary water to water this livestock. Plus, a lot of livestock is kept at a different location during the summer, so it's usually in the wintertime when the livestock is out there on winter range. And
so what you do before you have all pressurized lines and you know, for livestock, I wish I had that capability. I just have to bust ice and figure something out. But
most of the livestock is, this is within the last 5 to 7 years where it's increased. So they've always had livestock out there, but the amount has increased dramatically in the last few years.
And then, so I haven't quite kept up on I'm not sure if I've got the numbers correct, but are you, are the terms right now about a 50-50 and a, stumbling a little bit. Okay, so DEQ, you know, said that a 100% loan for 30 years at 1.5% would bring, you know, you'd be at 1.46 of the Magi, which is, you know, below the 1.75 for drinking water. Currently, what of Magi are we at right now? I guess this is a thing maybe for Pam, and I see she's bringing it up.
According to our numbers, we're listed at about 1.45% at Magi right now.
I don't think, well, so something must be wrong, because it says at a 30-year 100% loan, you'd be at 1.46. So,
that's correct.
Oh, yeah, so right now it's at 1.27. Okay. Well, when the question's over, I'll be ready to make a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Galecki. Let's next go to Mr. Stevens. Did you have a question?
Yes, thank you, Keith. I just noticed in reading through the public hearing minutes from September 10th that you make reference to the fact that there was a public meeting held in June to listen to customers' comments about raising rates. You talked a little bit about rate study and such, but I'm just curious as to what types of comments and how many, if any, were there regarding the rate issue.
If I remember correctly, we had about 5 to 7 customers at that meeting. Nobody likes to increase rates, but they understood the necessity of increasing the rates. And they understand that we're getting a tremendous subsidy from the industrial users, and if we lose those, the rates are going to, of necessity, have to be raised quite substantially more, put us well above the 1.75.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I'm not seeing any other hands raised. So, Greg, we'll go back to you for a motion.
Sorry about that. I'm not exactly sure of the numbers, but what I would I would say a 75% loan, 25% grant at 1% for 30 years.
You have a motion. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that, Commissioner Ogden.
We have a motion by Mr. Galecki and a second by Commissioner Ogden. Any board discussion on the motion?
I'd like to bring a substitute to the motion, Commissioner Lytle. I've got to get to the right screen for a moment.
I think we can all relate to that dilemma.
To move toward the median range from the requested to actually go to the $857,000 loan $891,150 grant at 1% for 30 years.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion by Commissioner Lytle and a second by Commissioner Hansen. On that motion, Commissioner Lytle, I'm not sure that those amounts are adding up to the requested amount of 2.3. Perhaps I didn't hear you correctly, but is that what you're showing, Candace?
No, I changed it. Their requested was 40% and 60% loan grant mix. I moved it closer to 50-50 with the numbers as they're reflected on the median range of the review sheet.
Okay, so basically a 50-50, but just so that it balances out to the rounded to the loan number, correct?
If it were to be rounded to 50-50, I would be fine with that.
Well, it's $857,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, and an $891,150 grant with the applicant cash of $100,000.
Correct. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. We've got some questions from Mr. Zanotti.
Yes, I have one more question from Mr. Dixon. He has mentioned a few times that about the subsidy that he receiving from the commercial customers. And are you fearful that you may lose the subsidy that will cause you to raise the rates more than you anticipate?
We don't know. Depends on what the new administration is going to do with oil and gas and federal lands and all that comes into play. Things have changed a lot. I've been here 7 years, and back then, most of our oil production was on federal land, and we were selling a lot more water to, they used a technology called flooding to force the oil out of the ground, so they'd buy a lot of water. Now that has almost gone to zero, and the only water they buy is for fracking of new wells, but a lot of these new wells are on private land. So it's not going to benefit CIB with any funds because it's on private land, not federal land. And the price of oil is, you know, you never know. You can't predict what it's going to do. So that's where we're at. We try our best to plan ahead, but we don't know what the administration is going to do. We don't know what the price of oil is going to be in the future.
Thank you.
Keith, I don't think there's any doubt what the administration is going to do with oil on public land.
I'm afraid you're right about that, Commissioner, but that's a discussion for another day.
If I heard the discussion of the rate study correctly, I thought that you indicated that even without that, that you'd be able to, afford it. Maybe I didn't hear the other person correctly.
The DEQ review indicates that there is a very large space of affordability.
You're correct, Mr. Galecki.
And I guess I'd like to add is that, you know, we the concern is the fund. The concern is revenues. We have other projects here that are already, you know, even this month, that are already over the 1.75, you know, and with water quality projects with phosphorus and nitrates, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more water projects. And, you know, the future of the fund is real concern that we have to try to protect.
If I may, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please go ahead, Commissioner.
And I'm very sensitive to that, and I appreciate Mr. Galecki's responses. And respectfully, I think February is going to be a difficult meeting because of some of the things we've already approved and having to fine-tune our needs and wants. or the projects in terms of needs and wants. Under this circumstance, as a producing county currently, with Duchesne County and this water project in particular, and its effort to serve the residential aspect of it or the low water pressures that are occurring within that stream, I'd be interested in hearing from the applicant how they willowed down, recognizing the scrutiny that they would be receiving today, how they willowed their project down to get this to be their need, or if there's other things that they feel that they could create in a timely manner or a timing manner to phase this project any further, if you understand what I'm asking.
Aaron Averett from Sunrise, he can probably give us some more information on that. Let me just let him tell you about that.
This is Aaron Averett from Sunrise Engineering. So I'll just quickly speak then. When we did the water master plan and when we took care of creating a priority list, and in that priority list, we looked at all the different needs of Johnson Water. And you can see that in the past couple of years, there was another application that came in. And you can tell from what Dixon indicated, too, that there was this is a 50-year-old line in this area. And it's also the area where the oil field pulls a lot of water from this general area. So even though there may be only cows that are on the culinary system in that area for full time during the winter and things like that, this is the area where the oil field pulls from. And so even though that is the direct beneficiaries, if the oil field is pulling from that general area too, as well, it negatively impacted those same connections too. And so depending on, and like Dixon talked about as well too, it's known at times that they're pulling for weeks at a time and they're filling trucks and they're filling ponds and things like that for weeks at a time. And so it's really hard to anticipate how long people are going to have pressure issues and things like that too. So that is one of the reasons why this area rose to the top of the priority list in the master plan, is because of the impacts from the oil field pulling that extra water at uncertain times, long durations. It could be that they get a phone call and next week it's pulled for 3 weeks, or it could be that they get heads up and then a month from now it happens. And so, and that also ties back to the rate study as well too. And in the rate study, we talked about that it's really hard to predict that ups and downs of how, when the oil field is going to take water and not take water. And, you can imagine as far as managing that water to be able to deliver it, to be able to provide it and not negatively impact the rest of the system has been an issue. That's on the, both the physical side and the financial side. So the rate study did take into account, the board member had mentioned on just a few minutes ago too, that the rate study took into account those things to see what happens if the oil field drops off and that income does come down. And we do see that in the rate study. We showed very clearly that the finances do appear skewed, and the Magi is skewed because the oil field is providing a lot of the income for the income of the district. And so if that was to drop off, and like they mentioned, we did see there's a lot of income right now that is tenuous. It still is coming in from one of the oil field companies, but it is tenuous. And so if what we did see from the rate study is if that one oil field company dropped off, that rate increase that has been talked about would have to be double or triple what it is in order for the residential connections to carry the load and still for Johnson Water to be fiscally responsible as well, too. So I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Aaron. Let's go to Mayor Baker with a question.
Yeah, if it would be appropriate, I'd like to call for a vote on the substitute motion.
That's in order. We'll call the question on the motion, the substitute motion, which is a 50-50, 1% for 30 years. Candace, will you do a roll call vote for us, please?
Yes, thank you. Is David Damshin on?
Not seen him yet.
Not yet. Greg Galecki?
Nay.
Commissioner Ogden?
Nay.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalton?
Nay.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Yes.
The motion passes. 6 in favor, 3 against. David Damshin absent for the vote.
Thank you, Candace. And thank you all for a healthy conversation, discussion. That'll be put on the priority list for funding at the funding meeting next month. So we look forward to seeing you then. Thank you, Dixon. Thank you, Dusty, and all of your board members and your engineering firm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this point, I'll turn the meeting back to Chairman Hardy.
Thank you, Keith. Let's move on to our next project, East Carbon City. Candace, can you give us a briefing on this project?
Thank you. Number 2 on the agenda today is East Carbon City for a water treatment plant. Their request is $1,825,000 in total CIB request, of which they have requested a $912,000 loan, 20-year 1%, and a $913,000 grant. It is below the tool. They have a federal USDA grant of $913,000 indicated on the application. They have a federal USDA loan, $912,000, 20-year at 1%, indicated on the application. This project consists of the construction of a new 1.5 million gallon treatment plant and accessories, backwash tank, et cetera, appurtenances. From the DEQ review, the city includes the former communities of Sunnyside, Columbia, and Draggerton, and provides culinary water to about approximately 1,700 residents and 182 commercial and industrial facilities, with a total of 933 connections. The preliminary engineering report recommends abandoning the existing tank and constructing a new conventional treatment type plant at the same site. So they're going to destroy that according to the DEQ review, or abandon that and build a new facility. The Division of Drinking Water supports East Carbon City's proposed drinking water infrastructure improvement project and believes that the request for financial assistance serves the public good. That's good. We like water projects. A 50-50 loan grant of 913 grant and 913 loan as requested does put the MAGI at 1.95%. From the public hearing, the monies that we are asking for from the USDA, 1.6 million in CIB. The request submitted to the USDA was for a substantially was for a different amount. The question would be, because in the public hearing minute they indicated that they would like to use tippage fees to pay off this loan, the applicant should also consider or address the fact that can this tippage fee revenue be allocated to a water project? And are these, is the USDA funding in place? And that's the project.
Great. Thank you, Candace. I see we've got several people on here that can answer questions from East Carbon. If you want to introduce yourself, maybe address those questions that Candace brought up and add anything to the description of the project, please. Somebody's talking there on mute, so. Is there anybody from East Carbon here to represent that? That's coming off of mute.
They're here.
Is that better?
Yep.
I was going to say, I sent them a little link. They might have to click on it.
Okay, I think we're there. My name is David Avery. I'm the mayor of East Carbon City. I'd like to thank the board for listening to our request today, and especially thank the ladies in the office for putting up with us and helping us through the little glitches that come along as we file these applications. With me today, I have
Chuck Abeda and Don Logston are on my city council. Merrill Johansson and Daryl Leemaster are engineers from Johansson and Tuttle. Mr. Gary Keddington, who is our financial consultant, and Liz Holt, our city recorder. This process started about 2 years ago with engineering and discussion with the USDA. Mr. Abeda and I met with the USDA in my office. Yes, they were willing to come right out. They thought this was a good project and it was that important that they came right out. They were very impressed with the engineering and the planning and offered us help at that time with the financial issues. They're so impressed that they could take the engineering report and cut and paste it to the application. And voila, we'd be done. That changed. About 3 months ago, that changed. With a new application process. And after this has been going on for 2 years, we heard back from them last Monday. They were concerned about our assets. And they got these numbers off of our audit report. Too much in the way of assets at $1.4 million. Not realizing that that money is restricted. So that's put the USDA portion of this project is partnering with us, probably on hold until we sort through this. Our financial consultant was dealing with them just this morning, trying to straighten this issue out. I hope everybody on this board understands how these loans are paid back from East Carbon City so that it doesn't become an issue with them. The cost of this project is about $3.6 million. We had planned on a 50-50, hopefully, from the USDA and the CIB. And that's what we would request until we get further information from the USDA. I'm through with mine there.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Let's go to the board with questions. We have a question from Commissioner Ogden.
So I guess my question to you, Mayor, is this USDA then, you haven't really got that secured then on their part of this application is one question. And then the other question there again in the minutes is how's the tipping fee going to be able to work to pay back this loan?
Okay, the first part of the question was what now?
You're not secure then with the USDA on part of this application.
Exactly right. That has all changed dramatically.
Okay, so I guess my question to you is this application that you're requesting, is that not a correct application then? Are you asking for all of this from CIB or where are we with that?
We probably would ask for all of that from the CIB. And pending adjustments to it after negotiations were final with the USDA.
Okay.
We had hoped for agreement from the USDA a long time ago, and it just hasn't happened.
Okay, what about where this is a water project,
Has DEQ weighed in on this at all?
I'll let my engineer talk about that a little bit here. That'd be Daryl Lee Master. DEQ, the DEQ,
yeah.
They weighed in on this.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, this is, my name's Daryl Lee Master. I'm with Johansson Tuttle Engineering. We've been working on this project for several years with these carbon suits. I'm not sure I answered the question here. The Division of Drinking Water has reviewed this and have offered their encouragement to proceed with it. And I'm not sure what your question was. Could you restate that?
Well, were you? I guess my question a little bit is a little of this is up in the air. Looking at the application, is the USDA loan still in limbo on this project, or is this something that we can finance with them still on this project, or something, a financial plan with the DEQ?
We don't really have anything with DEQ. We deal with the Division of Drinking Water.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But there's still a chance that we could get the funding from USDA. That's just unknown at this time.
Correct. They haven't turned this down. It just hasn't proceeded very well.
Okay. Thank you. That's one of my questions. And then the tipping fee, I want to know how that comes into play in being able to pay back the loan.
Mayor, you're going to have to unmute yourself again. We have to mute you guys because you have microphones really close to each other happening. So,
okay. I think I'm back on. The use of tippage fees has been done for 20-some years now with East Carbon City from the landfill. That is revenue that we receive. And that's why that $1.4 million is restricted, because that is the money that we use from tippage fees to pay off the loans that we have right now. The loans, it's been half, like I say, maybe 20 or 25 years. Started out at about $30 million. I think we owe in loans right now close to $4 million. So we think there's room to do that with the tippage fees. If business continues to stay good at the landfill, and it looks like it will. So that's kind of a history on how tippage fees work.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go to Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor, I have two questions to ask.
Okay.
The existing plant has capacity of 2 million gallon per day. Your proposed plan is going to have 1.5. How are you going to manage the shortfall of that water?
Well, the size of the city has shrunken dramatically in the last 10 years.
And the industrial use has gone down.
And our industrial use has also gone down.
So you're not going to need extra water then?
No.
Another question that I have is, in order to have a good quality working geothermal system, you need to have a good soil condition and water saturation. maybe you engineers can answer this question. What is your soil heat transfer rate and all the water saturation in that location to do geothermal system?
For heating.
Possibility of thermal heating.
I'll do that. Heat the building.
So we do plan on doing thermal heating for the building.
Right, but have you tested the soil to see you have a good heat transfer rate and also you have a good water saturation in the neighborhood to accommodate that good quality geothermal system?
No, we haven't tested the soil yet, but we'll do that during the process of the design.
Okay.
Okay.
And the last question, Mayor, that will be, you just found out this morning that USDA is not going to give you loan or grant. Is that what you said this morning?
No, that's not really the case. There is a lot of confusion within that organization, it looks like to me, as to who's making decisions and where they're going to come from. And like I say, this has been going on for 2 years, and we find out Monday that there's issues. I really have heartburn over that, but it's something that we will deal with.
Well, in lieu of those facts and those confusions, do you think that you need to go back and reassess and maybe redesign your application and come before board? Because that's gonna be fair for us to make a decision on the fact that half of your money is now gone, and other half we need to make a decision. But your project and your application was based on the loan and grant from USDA and loan and grant from CIB. What do you think?
Okay. Can we postpone this existing application?
Yes, I suggest that we should. We should just table this until further you decide what you're going to do without the USDA help, standalone application from CIB only, maybe phase your system. Because right now it's going to be just like you were confused, we are confused at what is the application asking for. And I cannot really, personally, cannot make a solid decision based on what is needed. That's my recommendation. If you don't mind, would your board and your constituent maybe go back, have another public hearing, and then meanwhile, maybe you will hear something from the people that promised your loan from USDA, and then come back. You have our attention anytime you want it.
Would you at this time consider the total amount?
Well, I will just give that one to the discretion of the board, but I know that it's going to be difficult to make a decision at this point what is exactly needed. Thank you,
Candace.
Mr. Zanotti.
Yes.
So let me just mention that we could put it on the pending list if a motion is made, and then when it's ready to go again, we can just bring it back up on the next agenda. Whenever it's ready. So with that, we'll go to Commissioner Lytle.
I think that would be my recommendation, but I'd like to hear from Candace if there's any other issues, because the application, Mayor, and I respect what the circumstances you're in, being from a small town myself, well, a county that's smaller than your towns, but the dilemma you're facing, I'm sensitive to. But I wonder if what the chairman just mentioned, would that require a motion to do that?
Yes.
And then if the application's amended while it's on pending, it would still come forward more accurately depicting the financial health of the project.
Yes.
So I would, unless there's further questions, I would make the motion to go that direction if you'd restate it in the words you used, Mr. Chair.
So the motion made by Commissioner Lytle is to place this project on the pending list, this application on the pending list, just awaiting further information before it comes back up before the board. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second from Commissioner Dalton. So motion made by Commissioner Lytle, second by Commissioner Dalton. Discussion to that motion. I know we have a few hands up. Mr. Galecki.
A couple of things. First, to the applicant, since you're already over 1.75 of the MAGI, does that make you eligible for a hardship grant with drinking water? So this is to you, Mayor.
I think. Am I unmuted?
No, you can hear me.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, we think so.
And I guess the other thing I want to point out is that, you know, so right now, if you take the 1%, the funding that is, you're going to be at 1.95% of the MAGI, and that doesn't include the loan from the USDA, which from the numbers, like you put, puts you over 2% of the MAGI. So it's well over the recommended. I think you're really qualified for drinking water stuff, hardship grant that you need to look at. And then something for Candace, I guess I want, or for the staff that I want to understand, is that the application as it is, it's a $912,000 loan and $913,000 grant. Is when it says it's below the range. What does that mean? Because it seems like it's well past their affordability.
I'm not sure what your question was, Greg.
Okay.
What they've asked for is different from what the median range of the tool has suggested. There is another consideration here. USDA funding is, it's pending. USDA funding would add federal dollars to this project. It would be, and I don't know if the Division of Drinking Water has federal or state dollars. State dollars certainly make a project less expensive, just for some of the complications of and requirements. If you put this on the pending list, it can come back at any meeting when it is prepped and staff can make sure. But your other question was, it is well said by the board that this project is over the suggested MAGI that the Division of Drinking Water uses. But a 50-50, as they've requested, it puts it at 1.95%, but that's if the other funding were available with USDA. Just so that the board might, Brenda, put up the entire amount, 50-50, and I don't want to take up a whole lot of time because I believe this project probably belongs on the pending list and it can come back to the funding meeting if it's ready and the board can at that time. It doesn't get authorized for funding today anyway. But if CIB were to fund the entire amount, which the total project amount, 50-50, which puts it above what the tool would suggest, I don't know. I think it's up to the board. But if you're interested, this is what it would be. But the pending list is really at this time when what, as recently as Monday, they don't know. I think that there needs to be more work on this application.
Well, I know we're looking towards the pending list, but yeah. I actually propose a substitute motion for the pending list.
A substitute motion to put it on the priority list?
No. So I would put a substitute motion to rather than 1% at 0.5%.
What are the amounts that you're talking about?
Yeah, I guess that's right. So right now it's a $912,000 loan, 20 years at 1%.
That is, yes. That's also with $1.8 million of USDA that's not secured. So okay, what the applicant has kind of indicated is that we can consider the whole project right now, or we could probably put it on the pending list. Those are probably our two options.
Okay, I'll withdraw what I was saying and just I'm done. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mayor Baker.
Well, thanks. My question that I had was, as I reviewed the description and the project, it sounded like shale oil tar sands reserves was what they were counting on, why they were trying to do this, because they anticipated a large influx of activity in the oil shale extraction. I have some concerns with future of that, especially with the change in administrations and everything, and what's happened in the past over the last 20, 30 years on oil shale extraction. So I guess that was my question to the mayor, was that a big factor in the decision to the increased potential for water usage from oil shale extraction, as they put in their description?
Okay, and we're not counting on that. It's just an option, I guess.
But was you sizing your plant for that purpose or not?
No.
Just to meet our present needs.
No, it's just to meet the present needs is all.
Okay. That answers my concerns there.
All right. Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Zanotti.
I have one more question, Mr. Chairman, maybe from Candace or the somebody expert in the staff area, that in UDOT, when we have committed federal money but delayed, we have opportunity to swap state money with the federal money, use it immediately, and wait for the reimbursement. Do we have such an option in CIB?
No.
Okay.
CIB is just state money. They can, if they got more money from a different source, they can pay off CIB's loan, a portion of it, pay it down faster. But we don't swap money. It's all state money from CIB.
Well, thank you for that. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, seeing no further questions, the motion before us is to place this project on the pending list. We'll do a roll call vote on this. Candace, are you doing that?
Pam.
Treasurer Damshin. Will be marked as absent.
I'm not absent, but I will abstain, having not participated in the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Galecki.
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden.
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle.
Aye.
Mayor Baker.
Aye.
Mr. Stevens.
Aye.
Commissioner Dalton.
This is to move it to the pending list, correct?
Correct.
Aye.
Thank you. Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
And Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
All votes in the affirmative with one abstention.
Okay, so that's on the pending list. When you feel like you have more information, we'd encourage you to go to Drinking Water and get whatever grant money is available, and maybe come back to the board when you're ready to go on your application.
Okay, appreciate it. Appreciate all the suggestions along the line here. And goodbye until then.
All right, thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Let's
move on to our next project, which is the Price River Water Improvement District. Candace, a briefing on this, please.
Number three on today's agenda is Price River Water Improvement District. They're asking for sewer improvements, a nutrient removal project. The request is a $1,600,000 total CIB request, $800,000 loan, 20 years at 0%, $800,000 grant. There is a Division of Water Quality grant of $800,000 indicated on the application, and a Division of Water Quality loan, $800,000. So the project is basically split 50-50 between CIB and drinking or Division of Water Quality. This project consists of improvements to wastewater treatment, including chemical treatment and emergencies, modifications and aeration systems, and all the appurtenances that go with that. Price River Water serves the area of Carbon County, which includes cities of Helper, Price, Wellington. Price River Water provides sewer service to 3,257 equivalent residential connections. From the DEQ review for modifications to their water reclamation facility, it is to bring it into compliance. The compliance issues came into effect in 2020. Price River has requested the same terms from Water Quality. They are not likely to receive any grant from Water Quality, as there is not sufficient funds in the grant fund to supply the requested grant. 100% loan equals 0.60 in MAGI. The sewer standard is 1.40. Based on the financial options, this project would be affordable even if the project were funded at 2.5% interest rate. Public hearing, DEQ and CIB funding likely as loans. It was stated in the public hearing. So with that, it is a good project. It's a needed project. They're out of compliance, and I turn it over to the board.
Right. We have our, looks like we have a few folks representing Price River Water Improvement District. So if you want to introduce yourselves and add anything to that description.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Richens. I'm the district manager for Price River Water Improvement Districts. I believe Corey Christiansen with Waterworks Engineers is also on the call. Candace did a very good job of introducing our project. We've been in study mode for several years with the Division of Water Quality. A number of years ago, I think it was 2015, the state imposed new standards on phosphorus with future standards coming for total inorganic nitrogen. This project will enable us to meet the new phosphorus limits and prepare us for the future when we need to meet the total inorganic nitrogen. We have received a variance from the Water Quality until January of 2023. That means we can have an interim limit on our phosphorus. So long as we meet the new limits in January of 2023, we're a little bit ahead of the curve as far as construction, because we also have been watching everybody throughout the state of Utah. Provo City is going through a project. Salt Lake City is going through a project. Central Valley is going through a project. I believe Santa Clara is, and maybe Spanish Fork. And we expect that they're going to grab up, because those are very large projects, I believe somewhere in the hundreds of millions of dollars. They're going to pick up the majority or the lion's share of the available contractors. And so what we're hoping to do is to start our project and give our contractors a long window so they can use us for some makeup work, because ours is a very small project. We're not putting in new tanks or new tankage. We're putting in pipes and equipment and instrumentations. Things like that. I guess lastly, I just, about 3 years ago, we came before the CIB and we received a 2.5% loan on $3.1 million for our sewer lining project. So we were hoping for a little bit better consideration because we took that whole thing in loan 3 years ago, and that was when we had our last rate increase then. So at this point, we're not wanting another rate increase this soon. After that, we may have to have one in the future.
Okay, I've got questions from the board on this project. Mr. Stevens?
Now, my question to the applicant is, has the money from DEQ been secured?
DEQ's meeting is on January 27th.
Thank you.
So at least we'd know by the funding meeting. Let's go to Mr. Galecki.
Shoot, I thought I was further down the list. a couple of things, as Mr. Richens pointed out, because of the removal requirements, there's a lot of, there's a lot of burden that's going to water quality, and we don't have the money. And, like those larger projects, we're going to see a lot more of these, here at CIV. And so I think, we really have to consider a 100% loan on this because of how it affects, where it is on the Magi and affordability. But a couple things, two things on the construction. One, I wanted to, I think it's a great idea to try to save money, how Mr. Richardson said to, spread out, have gaps in the construction, and so they could, have the vendors come in, when they have the time. The one question I had, though, is that I noticed that there was a 40% contingency fee, and I was wondering if either the contractor or somebody could address that.
So the amount of the contingency fee is the 591, that's not on the 1.6, that's on the whole package of the 3.2. So part of the problem is we don't know what contractors we're going to get. We don't know if we're going to be paying a whole lot of extra money. We don't know for sure. So all this is based on our pricing. We don't know, for example, if the equipment we're wanting to use is because it's going to become very popular with the other entities. We don't know where they're at in their projects. So there's a lot of unknowns.
And what are your impact fees for new hookups and such?
So if you are just talking sewer, if you are outside of the city limits, it's $1,250. If you are inside of the city limits, it's $852.
And when's the last time you said you had a rate increase? Was there any impact fees associated with that rate increase?
We did not do an impact fee change at that time because we felt like our impact fees were appropriate. We did an impact fee study a number of years prior to that, and we're still working off that same impact fee study. We thought it was counterintuitive to do another one just for this size of a project when it was not about growth. It's all about meeting new standards.
Right. No, exactly. Do you recall when you did that last impact study?
Yeah, we did, I believe it was in 2011 or 2012, right in there somewhere. And so we're outside our seven-year life. We have set up to where we're still collecting the funds and paying off the bonds that we took in back in those days. And so immediately when the money comes in, we put onto those bonds.
Okay. I think you'll find if you do it again that your impact fees are pretty low from what from what we normally see at the Water Quality Board. Okay, that's all I have right now. Thank you.
Let's go to Commissioner Dalton.
Yeah, I just needed a clarification. Candace, I didn't hear specifically on the Magi. Right now it's 0.60, and what is the recommended on these kind of projects?
Sewer, the guideline is 1.40, water is 1.75. Here we are talking about a nutrient removal, it's sewer improvements. So the guideline is 1.4% of the MAGI. As you can see up on the screen right now, that is the review from the Division of Water Quality. So it pares down. And this is only dealing with the top three lines on your screen deal with just half of the actually, it's dealing with the whole project. As you can see, if the whole project was a loan, even at 1%, they fall well within the recommended MAGI.
Yep. I heard 1 point something, and I couldn't tell whether it was 1.2, 1.4, or what. So thank you.
I apologize.
No, you're fine. It was maybe a glitch on my end.
But Commissioner Lytle.
Thank you. Just a couple questions regarding the minutes with the applicant. There were comments relative within the minutes during the public hearing that there were questions asked and answered about the project, but there was no detail to the what kind of questions and answers or opinions were related, and I wondered if you could enlighten us a little bit to that in terms of what the public comment was or what questions were asked.
Sure.
And then the follow-up to that, it said the item did not need a motion since it was voted on previously, and I just didn't know if that was documented when it was voted on previously, and it may be in the application, but it wasn't reflected in the minutes.
Okay. So at the public hearing, there was no public. And so all of the discussion then was to just familiarize the board members with the project, its necessity, what our request was going to be. And in the application, there should be another sheet. I don't know if it's just behind the minutes that when we sent in the application, because the actual minutes didn't reflect it. There you go. Coming up on the screen now is the transcript of the public hearing discussion.
Yeah, and I understand that the public hearing discussion occurred there, but it just said there were questions asked and answered without knowing what the questions were or what was answered. And then the other part was what meeting it had been approved, the project had been approved at. And
right.
Maybe that's what you're showing me.
So this is a transcript of the discussion of what went on from listening to and transcribing from the actual recording of the meeting. How the minutes were written was very generalized. So that's why we went through the effort of putting this next page together. As far as when the meeting or the project itself was approved, we approved that years ago when we went through the project or our priority list and started putting together the variance request to the Water Quality Board for the phosphorus limit. Again, this has been on our radar for 5 years.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry I missed that part of it. So the application, to go forward with the application, was approved at which meeting?
I don't have that in front of me, but yeah.
Maybe Candace can answer that. I don't know.
The question was, when did
which meeting did they approve to go forward with this application?
That would have to have been in their meeting minutes because we don't monitor their public hearings. It shows right here, June 2nd, 2020.
Okay. That's what I wasn't able to pick up as I looked at it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. As long as that T's crossed or dotted or I or whatever it is, Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Jeff. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, sir.
You have mentioned that you had a public hearing, but there was no public. What kind of deal is that? Do you feed them? Do you give them refreshments? Remember the old adage, you feed them, they'll come?
Traditionally, whenever we've had a public hearing, we don't have much public come unless we're going to be raising the rates. Then they all come. But if it's just a project we need to do, of course, I also have to credit the staff here for, we put out articles in the newspaper. We try to educate the public in advance of what's going on, why we're going to be doing these things long before we actually have to have a public hearing to talk about things. So we rarely get people to our meetings unless we're going to have a rate increase.
Yeah. Well, I know that in St. George, they have refreshments and they pack the auditorium for that meetings any time that I've been there. The next question is about the rate. You talked about rate increases. You currently have $33 a month, if I remember right. And you said that you don't want to raise them. So if you're not going to raise them, how are you going to pay for this plant?
Well, what I said is we don't want to raise them right now because, again, we just had the rate increase. I believe it was became effective January of 2019.
Okay.
As we go forward with this, if we have to raise them in another year or two, then that's when we'll do that, is when it becomes necessary.
Okay, my last question will be, David, a little bit frightening to ask. What if you do not get the grant you anticipate on January 21st or second meeting? What kind of decision will make then?
You're talking about from water quality?
Yes.
Well, I can't speak to the water quality board itself, but we were actually requested, encouraged by the staff of water quality to allow them to participate in the funding of this project. Because, and they've actually told us that we are looking at state money, not federal money.
Okay.
Because this is a very good project. It is a project they should be funding. And our request from them is only $1.6 million. And they should be able to fill that in that combination.
And they giving you the assurance that they will be available, the money will be available?
Yeah, they've told us the money's available. We've talked to three different of their staff members.
Okay.
We just don't know how the board's going to vote, but they've told us specifically that there is state money available.
Thank you, Mayor.
But, Commissioner Adams.
I think they are requesting a 50-50 grant loan from the CIB. Is that right, Jonathan?
Correct.
I'd like to make a motion that we give them a 50-50 grant loan subject to receiving the money from DEQ on the 20-something, whatever day.
So they've requested 20 years at 0%. Is that what you're suggesting on the loan?
Yeah.
That motion's in order. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Yeah, motion made by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Mr. Stevens, to approve an $800,000 loan, 20 years at 0%, and an $800,000 grant. Further discussion to that motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
I'd like to have the interest, at least... I'd like to see just a little interest, even a 0.5 on there, if Commissioner Adams would change that.
Mr. Adams, you want to amend it from 0% to 0.5%?
I'm having a hard time getting myself off of mute. Every time I touch the screen, it takes me to CNN or something. I'm tired of seeing what's going on in Washington, D.C. Anyway, I'd just like some input from the applicant. Would that be acceptable to you, the applicant?
Yeah, if we could get that package at
the 50-50, we would take 5% loan.
Okay. I would amend my motion to what Tudor is asking.
Okay. Mr. Stevens, you're the second. Do you agree to that as well?
I'll agree with that, yes.
Okay. So that's amended to reflect 20 years at 0.5%, $800,000 loan, and an $800,000 grant. Further discussion, Mr. Galecki.
Yeah, I'd like to actually make a substitute motion. And being, you know, beyond the Water Quality Board. So, Bruce, you might think that I'm being mean, but I think this is actually a better package. I propose, my substitute motion is that we, what's the entire project? Brenda, can you put the cost of
3.2.
It's 3.2. I propose that we give them a $3 million loan at 1% and a $200,000 loan. And the reason being is that the money that they're at 30 years, and the reason being is that the money, they're not going to get that good of a rate at water quality. And so, there's two reasons. One, protect, a couple of reasons. One, protect fund. Two, it's affordable to the applicant. And three, we're giving them a better rate than when they'd get at water quality. So that's my motion.
That substitute motion is in order. Is there a second?
If I could, Mr. Chair, I have a question. Didn't Mr. Galecki's...
Let's get a second if there is one first, and we'll go to discussion on the motion. So do you want to second it, Treasurer Damshin?
Well, I'll second it, but I think Mr. Galecki misspoke because he said a $3 million loan, and then he said a $200 million loan, unless I misheard.
$200,000 grant.
Right.
That's what I either he said or he intended to say. Okay. So I'll second it.
All right, so the substitute motion on the table is a $3 million loan at 30 years at 1% and a $200,000 grant. Further discussion to the substitute motion?
I'd like to, if I may, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Lytle, is there a chance we could hear from the applicant on that?
Turn it back over to you, Jeff. Do you want to comment on that?
Sure. I have a further question about Mr. Galecki's actual motion. He said for 30 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
We really try to keep everything at 20 years or shorter. So I understand that would be a heavier burden. But where he sits on the Water Quality Board, and he's fairly confident, we're not going to get a better package from them. If we were to get, as Mr. Adams proposed, 50-50 at a 0.5, and then we go back to them and get 1.6 at, say, a 2% or 2.5%, I guess my question for Mr. Galecki is there not an option for us to get a 1% or 0.5% from Water Quality?
You know, you have to go to staff, but I believe, you know, maybe you do get certain allowances. You know, they start taking things off as far as credits, so to speak. I believe they're currently starting at about 2.5%. And then, you know, you get some reductions. I doubt you won't blow 1%. But I guess I might be speaking out of turn, but I don't think I think 1% is better than you're going to get at water quality. Because they go very strictly, very closely to the 1.4, and then, you know, go from, and I see you're working numbers pretty hard to make sure, which is true. But, it is on pending list. You know, I mean, if we, you know,
parity.
priority. Sorry, it is under priority. So if things changed a bit, but in my experience, I think it's pretty good.
Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, the reason I kind of made the motion that, well, not kind of, but the reason I made the motion is because I don't want to see the CIB become the funder of all DEQ and water quality projects moving forward. I think our money is pretty precious to the rural counties in the state of Utah who are producing this kind of money, and I'd like to keep the pressure on water quality and DEQ to use the money that's allocated to them from the state to fund these projects that they can fund. So therefore I made my motion contingent upon what they were able to get from water quality, and we can adjust this application if we need to at the funding meeting. So I'd like to encourage the board to vote for the motion that I made.
Okay, can I come in?
Hold on. Let's go to Mr. Zanotti first. We'll put you in line there. You're after Nagy, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Since we're asking question all about from Jeff, that is applicant, if he can afford or cannot afford, would you please, Mr. Chairman, show the screen for the median range, the proposed median range that we have from the staff?
I think that is up, actually, on the screen right now.
Okay. Well, Jeff, have you seen this option also, that you have a certain amount of grant and a loan and 1%?
I have not seen that, no. Now there's a whole bunch of information that I got to absorb here really quickly.
And so I'll just say, Nagy, that what the tool suggests is massively different than what water quality is suggesting on this because of that affordability factor. So right. What you'll see in the tool is going to be less than anything 50-50. But water quality is suggesting they could take 100% loan and still be affordable.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Galecki.
Bruce, I guess what I was going to add, and a good point as far as letting the other other agencies fund things when they can. And initially what I was thinking is that we would give what they were asking for, you know, $1.6 million in loan, you know, all the $1.6 million loan at you know, if they wanted 20 years to do it at that. But I was thinking of actually providing a little bit better rate to them, so to speak, you know, give them a little bit, because I don't think they're going to get it as good there.
So what I, if I might chime in here, what I've worked out is if we get 2.5% from both entities, our payback over 20 years is right at $200,000 a year. That's our payback. If we get, let's see. I think we got to see the rest of your screen. There we go. Yeah, I'm Mr. Galecki. I'm not seeing that. That's a better package to go $3 million at 1% plus $200,000 grant. If I think I can get 2.5% from water quality.
Okay. Why don't I amend my motion? And I'll put it at the $1.6 million loan, 1%, 20 years.
Okay, Treasurer Namshin. Amended motion proposed?
I'll second that.
Okay. All right. Seeing no further discussion, we'll place the substitute motion for a vote. The substitute motion is a $1.6 million loan, 20 years at 1%. Roll call vote, please, Pam.
Treasurer Damption?
Yes.
Mr. Galecki?
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle?
I don't know yet. I'm still trying to understand it. So for this moment, I'm going to say nay.
Mayor Baker?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Nay.
I'm sorry, was that yay or nay?
No.
Thank you. Commissioner Dalton?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
No.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Seven votes in the affirmative and three in the negative.
That motion passes. It's on the priority list, so we can have another discussion next month when you've got more information from water quality, see if we're good where we're at or some tweaks need to be made. So we'll see you in February, but that's on the priority list approved.
All right. Thank you for your time and your considerations.
Thank you. Okay. 10:16. Let's take a break till 10:25 and reconvene at that time. And make sure everybody's back online at 10:25. So I hope we have everybody back with us. I can see some faces. So if our board members will turn their cameras on so I make sure you're back. Okay, let's go ahead and get started back up with our projects. Beaver City is the next one on our list. Candace, if you'll give us a briefing on this project, please.
Number four on today's agenda is Beaver City for water system improvements. This is the Bear Canyon Spring Development. Their request is $986,000 total CIB. $493,000 is a loan at 20 years and 1%. $493,000 is a grant. There's applicant cash of $50,000. This project consists of developing the Bear River Spring to increase flows by 40 to 50 GPM. It will have all of the appurtenances. There are gates and tree removal and posts and seating and all of the associated things with spring redevelopment. In the DEQ review, Beaver City is located approximately 24 miles south of Cove Fort, along I-15 in Beaver County. The city provides culinary water to approximately 3,100 residents and 235 commercial and agricultural facilities. That's a total of 1,607 connections. The head house well currently lacks a building to prevent pipes from freezing during the winter. This should be noted that 100% loan at $986,000, 1.5% 30 years, presents a 1.54% MAGI. Again, the standard for water is 1.75, and that's the project. It's a good project. Remember, this month, this agenda is all water and sewer. That's it.
Okay, thanks, Candace. Before we get to our applicants, just a quick reminder to the board that we have folks from EQ that have both done the analysis and can comment on their analysis. All of these projects have been vetted. They support them. They've made their funding recommendations that are in your packet. So, and if you need to make a comment, folks from DEQ, the raise hand feature is done by clicking on the participant feature at the bottom of the screen. That'll pull up a box, and at the bottom right hand, there's a menu where you can raise your hand feature. So that's how you do it if you need to make a comment. I know there was a couple that probably could have chimed in on some of those prior applications. I'm hopeful that we can move through these applications a little more quickly, knowing that they've been vetted by the staff that we trust over there. So with that, folks from Beaver City, I'll turn some time over to you to introduce yourselves and anything else you want to add to the description of this project.
Very good. Thank you. Jason Brown here, city manager. I think we have on board Mayor Robinson, We have Marcus Keller, our municipal advisor, and Darren Robinson, our engineer with Jones and DeMille Engineering. So prior to looking at the Bear Canyon Spring project in 2011, the existing springs in this area were redeveloped. And since that time, since 2011, the spring flows have drastically been reduced by about 20%. We've been monitoring this Bear Canyon spring for approximately 4 years, anticipating a future project. So a year ago, trying to get ahead of the game, we met with the Forest Service. We've been working with them on our environmental analysis and a right-of-way to complete this spring development project. Anticipating coming to CIB in July of 2020, we had a rate increase based on a water rate study by RCAC. And here we are before the board requesting 50-50 loan to grant, recognizing that, you know, CIB needs to have permanent funds continually coming in, and we are requesting a 1% at 20 years.
Great, thank you for that description. We do need permanent funds, and the water quality is recommending we can take 100% loan and still have affordability within your rate structure. So maybe I can ask the question, how you feel about that.
So we recognize that we have future projects that may cause a hardship on our community. That's why we're requesting 50-50 on the request.
All right, let's go to Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question. Someone from the water department explained to us or educate the board about the IPS points. How do they assess that?
Good morning,
Sky, Skyler. Okay, Sky.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yep, this is Sky Seabrook at Division of Drinking Water. IPS refers to the improvement priority system. These are points assessed during sanitary surveys. When points are assessed, points are actually bad. So when you have more points, it means these are things that need to be corrected.
Right.
When those deficiencies are corrected, the system can just send notification of the correction, perhaps photo documentation to support that correction, and then we remove the points. So I don't know if that helps explain.
How long do they have to remove the correct and before you can have – do they have any penalties if they don't?
Right. It depends on – the points, monitoring points take a little bit longer sometimes to correct. Facility points, I believe they have a few months to correct those. It also depends on the severity of the deficiency. So I don't have a, it's not a straightforward answer. It really just depends on the actual deficiency.
Okay. Thank you, Sky. My next question is from Jason. What is your water rate currently?
So our current water rate is $35 per 10,000 gallon minimum.
And then you have a tiered rate after that?
That is correct.
How much is that, you know?
It's an increasing tier. It's 40 cents per thousand for I think it's 15,000 gallon, and it goes up from there to $1.80 per thousand in a tiered system. There's four tiers.
So what is your population, Jason, at this point?
It's around 3,100.
And do you have anticipation of any kind of growth?
I mean, obviously we hope we have growth. That helps our community. We've had some growth. It's been stifled a little bit recently, but we hope that that will continue. You know, we anticipate a 2% growth rate.
Did you have enough snow to get the visitors for the winter?
Oh, this year's really bad. That's one of our great concerns with the scarcity of water right now, with the spring the flows diminishing, thus the need to develop this spring and put it into our system.
So the last question from you, Jason, what is your futuristic rate increases that you are this year, the next year, and from your citizens?
Very good. So for the next 3 years and a portion of our rate increase, we actually have a rate increase every year for the next 3 years.
Is that the $1 a day, year per month?
No, it's a base minimum increase. The tiered rate is scheduled to stay the same, but our base rate increase is scheduled to increase on more of our bigger users.
Okay. Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Commissioner Lytle.
Just a quick question. As far as the points and stuff, is anything that you're doing in this project going to help relieve or reduce your points that you've accrued? Or are you at zero? I'm sorry.
No, the only thing this will do is help increase some of the spring flows that we have lost over the past 8 to 10 years.
Do you have any points against you right now?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I should be able to bring up that.
Okay, let's go to Mr. Galecki.
Okay, a couple quick questions. So I assume you already have the water rights for the springs.
That's correct.
And then did you say what your impact fees are for new hookups?
So our current impact fees are around $6,500.
Oh, wow. And then, you said you'd like a master plan and more things coming up in the future. Are they projects that are going to involve CIB in the next few years?
Possibly, yes. With the current bonds that we have on our sheet, we're trying to be fiscally responsible and take those on as we can, knowing that we do have some upcoming water project needs and other community needs that we'll have to address.
Okay. Then I guess this is more of a note for the board, is that I see you're retiring $22,000 of debt in this year, $270,000 in 2025, and almost $450,000 in 2026. So it looks like you're going to be in pretty good financial shape. I had two small questions on the, you may or may not be able to answer, on the engineering part. There was, double mobilization there that added up to quite a bit. Do you know why you had to get, mobilization twice? And one was for, $50,000, another one's for $20,000.
Yeah, I think I can answer that without having to go to the engineer. Right now, we have two different locations. The spring is up on the mountain a ways, and the well buildings is closer to town. So with the two different locations, that's why there's a different mobilization with the two types of construction, a building versus a spring development.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Marcus, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to clarify to the board that those debt pieces retiring are not related to their water fund. Those are sewer and hospital bonds. So the water fund debt, they actually are pretty long term. The soonest one is retiring in 10 years, and then the next ones are retiring in 2040. Just as clarification for that.
Thank you. Commissioner Dalton?
Yeah, Jason, I know you've been working with the Forest Service for quite a while. Where are you at on getting final approval on the Forest Service?
So final approval is anticipated around May. We anticipate going to construction in July and August. starting on the well building first in July and moving to the springs later in the fall, in August.
Okay. With that being said, I'd like to make a motion to move it to the funding meeting in February based on the applicant's request, 50-50, 20 years, 1%.
Okay, that motion is in order. Is there a second?
I'll second, Commissioner Lytle.
A motion made by Commissioner Dalton, seconded by Commissioner Lytle, to approve a $493,000 loan, 20 years at 1%, and a $493,000 grant. Further discussion to that motion, Mr. Znotti.
The comment, Mr. Chairman, this is the cleanest, the most drinkable water on earth next to Pine Valley. So we have to be mindful of that and protect it.
Okay, thank you. I'll also make a comment that we seem to be a little bit all over the board here with the recommendations from water quality as far as like aligning with them or not aligning with them. We just did a similar type project, the one that we reviewed, and went 100% grant or 100% loan because it fit within the affordability requirements. So, one of the criticisms levied at the board and some of the audit findings were there wasn't some consistency amongst similar type projects. And I don't know how to overcome that if we're doing these types of disparate actions. So I'll just put that out there as we contemplate this motion. I see no further comments or discussion, so let's place that motion for a vote. And Pam, a roll call vote, please.
Thank you. Treasurer Damson?
Yes.
Mr. Galecki?
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalton?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
And Mr. Znotti?
Aye.
All votes in the affirmative.
Okay, that's on the priority list for the February funding meeting. We appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate the board.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Town of Scipio is our next applicant. And Candace, can you give us a briefing on this project?
Number 5 on the agenda today is from the Town of Scipio for water system improvements. Their request is $300,000, $100,000 loan, 30-year at 0.5, $200,000 grant. The applicant has $187,779 cash and USDA of a million indicated on the application. This project consists of flow and pressure improvements to include drilling and a new well to include all the appurtenances that happens with a new well and a SCADA master meter. DEQ review currently serves 189, indicates they currently serve 189 residential connections. The town does not meet state requirements for source. So the applicant request $200,000 grant, $100,000 loan at 1.5 for 30 years would be a monthly rate that is quite high. It's 1.79% of MAGI. The public hearing was pretty good. It cited the CIB purpose and cited the possible funding, so thank you for that. But it's a pretty straightforward project. And with that, I'll turn it to the board.
Thank you. I know we got Mayor Sheridan with us. Anything you want to add to that description or anybody else from your town?
This is Pam Sheridan. I'm the mayor. This is, I believe on here is Kelly from Enzyme Engineering. We've just been working, year after year, trying to come up with a plan.
Mayor, if I could get you to, when you look into the camera, we can hear you a lot better. So anytime you turn away, we can't really hear what you're saying.
Okay. We've just been working really hard year after year to come up to compliance with follow the regulations from the state and such, and that's the reason for our request to have help putting a meter on our tanks. Excuse me. And this is in conjunction with a new well that we're drilling. So we wanted to be able to just continue. The other part of our project is to hook onto our main water line where it terminates on one part of our town and create a consistent loop. And that will help with our fire hydrants as well as the pressure for the town. And in the past couple of years, we've increased our impact fees, our water fees. We've had a water master plan created. And so I'll turn it back to you if you have questions for me.
Okay, go to the board for questions or motions. Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you. Mayor Sheridan, thank you. As Candace said about your public hearing, it was really informative. But could we ask you a favor to include your council members' names if they're present at the meeting or anybody else and from the board members? It really makes it a major decision for us to see that your constituents, your councils also support your decision in your public hearings. But okay. It's a beautiful minutes. Thank you for collecting that. What is the status of your cash contribution and the USDA grant at this point?
We are responsible for $285,000 of that towards the $1 million that the grant that we received from them. So we're with trying to finish out these other two projects, we're pretty, you know, just at the bottom line of what we have available.
So you have received the money. You have received the grants already?
Yes.
That's good. That is wonderful. My last question will be that I understand there's already a smaller line that provides loop in the system. Is that not adequate pressure at this time?
No, it goes from, it goes from like a 6-inch line and drops down to a 1-inch line to a 3/4-inch line up on that end of town, and we would like to create at least a 6-inch line to bring it back into the main water line to make a complete loop.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much.
But Mr. Galecki?
I'd like to make a motion if it's appropriate.
In order?
I'd like to do a $100,000 loan at 30 years at 0.5% and a $200,000 grant.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Second the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, motion made by Mr. Galecki, seconded by Mr. Zanotti to approve a $200,000 grant and a $100,000 loan, 30 years at 0.5%. Further discussion of that motion, Commissioner Lytle.
So it would be as requested and within the range, apparently.
Yes.
Okay. I had one question. It's not so much the motion, but to the applicants that I didn't get my hand up in time. In terms of your deficiencies that you've got points for right now, will any of this project remove points from your deficiencies?
Kelly, do you know on that?
The last I checked, and maybe Sky or somebody from drinking water who's on can has that in front of them. I don't know, but from what I recall, there was a deficiency on the screen on the spring line, but that's since been resolved in the past several months when we've been doing a few of these upgrades. That's the only one that I'm aware of that I remember. I don't know if Sky has another one that they or somebody from drinking water that had that listed.
Is it a cross connection plan? Is that one of the points on yours? I've gotten confused. The point I'm bringing this up for is as we plan and do this with, and as we fund these, recognizing that there's a recommendation from DEQ or drinking water, if those things are targeted within the projects, that means I would think a lot to them as well as could for CIB in the attempt to maintain your certification. And just want to make sure that we're addressing the issues that DDW recognizes as priority issues as well. That's all. That was my comment.
Okay. Heather and Sky both have their hand raised, so whoever wants to go first and address that question.
Yeah, this is Heather. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Yes, okay. So a big portion of the points on their IPS is a failure to monitor. The failure to monitor points take about a year to get off. They have to do follow-up monitoring for a year. Their violation came in January, February, and March of 2020, so they will not be resolved until they continue their reporting through March of 2021. And that's 45 of their points. The other points they have five for they need to update their source protection plan, so that won't be part of this project, but that's a pretty easy fix we can work with them on. And the other points they have is for, they have some signs of deterioration on the roof of their storage tank. So I don't believe their storage tank is part of this project, so that won't be repaired with this project either, but it's 15 points, so that's not significant, and we can work with them on that as well.
Thank you. And just from a disclosure standpoint, I'm pretty aware, been more educated of late how this system works with because of our county's operation at Dutch John Water. So I'm just trying to make sure that I'm understanding as these things come up. We may see projects from other areas that will be directly related to physical repairs or fixes that will allow for better scoring on in that system and with other areas as well because of the way the system's changed and people's ability to be accountable for their water systems. So I applaud Scipio for your efforts and I have no further comments or questions.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Seeing no further questions or discussion, back to a vote on the motion. Again, I'll restate it. It's for a $100,000 loan, 30 years at 0.5%, and a $200,000 grant. Pam, a roll call vote, please.
Treasurer Damschen?
Yes.
Great. Mr. Galecki?
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle?
Aye.
Mayor Baker?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Aye.
Commissioner Dalton?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
And Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
All votes in the affirmative.
Great. That's on the priority list for the February funding meeting. Thank you, Mayor, and everybody involved.
Thank you.
Okay, our next project to discuss is Mona City. Candace, a briefing on this project, please. You're on mute, so you've been talking into the void.
I was hoping that people were looking intently and read my lips. Number six on the agenda today is Mona City Water System Improvements, new water tank. Their request is $1,950,000 total, $975,000 loan, 20 year at 1%, $975,000 grant. this is in Juab County. They also have applicant cash of $50,000. This project consists of constructing a new $1 million gallon concrete water tank to include design and engineering. And all the appurtenances. In the DEQ review, Mona City's water system currently serves 532 residential connections. A 2014 master plan identified deficiencies. They need an additional 500,000 gallons of storage. If they were offered a $100,000 loan, a $1,950,000 20-year at 2.5%, their magi would then be a 1.33%. Standard water rate is 1.75%. the public hearing was sparse but adequate. And with that, I'll turn it over to the board.
Okay. Well, we've got our applicants with us. If you want to introduce yourselves. You're also talking in the mute. Okay. Who do we?
Randy's on. This is Tyler Faddis with Jones and DeMille.
Thank you, Tyler.
And Randy was on.
Okay, there we go.
There you go.
Randy Christensen with Mona City Council. We are currently asking for a 50-50 on the project here. We have found some deficiencies in the last few years that we have been taking care of in the water, and with the anticipated growth of the city, we figured that we needed more capacity to store water. And with the subdivision that we had just completed, we went to charge the hydrant lines down there, and we had just installed a new GIS on the tanks up there. And when we went to charge those lines, we got down to a low reading in the emergency area of the tank being emptied. So this was a big concern of ours. So we have gone ahead with this million-gallon tank. But we have a increase. We noticed that our water rates, monthly water rates, were lower than what we should be. So we have put on a yearly $3 addition per connection for the last 5 years. And I think we're going to increase that. We have three more years of this current five. And we are going to probably put on another 5 year, $3 on city connections and $5 on county connections. We have spent $150,000 on upgrades on the well improvements and leaky lines that we have improved this last year. And on our total connections, they've gone up already from a few more homes have come in. But anyway, that's our proposal or our application.
Great, thank you. We'll go to the board with questions on this. Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilman Christensen, I would like to personally extend my appreciation to you for opening your public hearings with the prayers. It sure brings peace and harmony to the meetings. Thank you for doing that. I wish we all could do that every time in every meetings. And I'm pretty sure your prayers also included a segment about that the CIB board members will be kind to you and your citizens for approving application today. I have no doubt. In that spirit of your new year and the prayers, I would like to make a motion, Mr. Chairman, just straightforward, that accept the application for 858,000 grants. What is remaining? As they have requested, 20-year for 1%.
So their request is different than the funding median range. Their request is $975,000 loan, $975,000 grant.
No, I'm requesting the one that we have median range. That's okay. My proposal for today. 30 years, 1%. And Mr. Chairman Christensen, this will give you $12,000 less than your payments, annual payment, based on your proposal. So this will be a better package for you.
I'd second that motion. Excuse me.
Okay, so the motion made by Mr. Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Lytle, is a $1,092,000 loan, 30 years at 1%, and then $858,000 grant.
That's correct.
Okay, discussion to that motion? Seeing none, we'll place that for a vote. Pam, roll call, please.
Treasurer Damschen?
Yes.
Mr. Galecki?
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle?
Aye.
Mayor Baker?
Aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalton?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
And Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
All votes in the affirmative.
Hey, that's on our priority list for our meeting next month, so we'll talk again next month. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, new projects from the large infrastructure application, Richfield City. Candace, a briefing on this project, please. You're on mute, Candace.
Trying not to hear you. Let you hear me.
The mute doesn't allow you not to hear me. It just allows me not to hear you.
I'm trying to get out of here now.
The only project that has been submitted on the large infrastructure application, and the reason we have them submit on that application is it asks a lot more questions when you're asking for a significant amount of money. Richfield City is asking for sewer improvements funding, sewer lagoon rehabilitation. I think this has been in the works for a while. Their request to CIB is $12,348,000 total CIB request, of which they are requesting a $4,940,000 loan, 20-year at 1%, and a $7,408,000 grant. This project consists of the engineering, permitting, and reconstruction of the south primary and secondary sewer lagoon cells. There's a lot that will go on to this. The DEQ review, the lagoons were installed in 1983 and consist of two 70-acre primary cells and two 40-acre secondary cells and one 42-acre holding cell. In 2018, the inlet to the cell collapsed. It was determined that the lagoon cell was compromised and not retaining the inflow. So you can see by the DEQ review, there is a lot going on. In 2017, the city self-funded the replacement of the central lift station at a cost of $535,363. The northern and southern lift stations were installed in 2009. The southern station is currently experiencing equipment failures and increased demands in the area and needs replacement. The city completed a sanitary sewer capital facilities plan in 2018, which identified several collection lines deteriorating or collapsing due to age and material types. So there's a 2,600-foot deteriorating 12-inch diameter concrete pipe. The current inflows will require a full 70-acre primary cell and one 40-acre secondary cell for storage. So an additional acreage is required. If they, this is a 20-year design life, so the board should be aware that this might need a 20-year loan in the event that their loan is a $2,600,000 grant and a $9,748,000 loan for 20 years at 1% equals a 1.4% MAGI. So a $10,340,000 loan for 20 years at 0.5% is affordable. Richfield currently charges $2,750 per month for sewer. In the public hearing, they say $11.8 million was the request, and those minutes were not they're very sparse, as you can see. I mean, they're asking for $12,348,000, and they have six lines of minutes. So, not good. And that's the project. It's big, it's ambitious, it's necessary. And that's, I'll turn it over to the board.
Okay, let's go. I know we have somebody here from our applicant, Michelle, is that right? Anybody else?
Mayor Oppenger.
Oh, it's a whole group of people. Okay. You'll introduce yourselves for us, please.
Well, thank you. Introduce ourselves. I'm Mayor Ogden, and I'm here. Go ahead.
Sure. Michelle Jolly, manager, city manager.
Carson DeMille with Jones and DeMille Engineering. Tyson Hansen, finance director.
And?
Keith Mogan, public works manager.
Anything else you want to add to the project description?
Anything you want to add, so go ahead.
Well, no, I just want to say that right off the bat, if it would help, we'll hold hands right now and pray together. Thanks, Chairman Hardy. Hello to the board and staff. Candace did a great job of explaining the scope of our project. I express appreciation on behalf of our community and hundreds of other communities that the CIB has helped throughout the years. When I explained to Brian Barton what I planned to say today, he said, "You will appear to be a lot smarter with the least amount that you can say, Mayor." So I've cut back on a history of the Richfield plus two poems and also my connection to Mayflower Passenger, so I won't bother you with any of that. But I do want to say that our community is growing. We do have 7,800 plus citizens, and we're planning for the future, and we would not be smart if we didn't do that as part of our project. The primary reason that cities exist is to deliver services. Clean water in, dirty water out are essential to our community. And Candace did a great job of explaining what I was going to bring up next, so I'm going to skip through that. I'm just going to say that we have self-funded a lot of projects recently, as we should. And we also have skin in the game in this project, and I just want to call that to your attention. Michelle is well-versed in all the aspects of this project, and she'll take your questions because I can't see your lips move, and if you were closer, I could really read your lips and know exactly what you're saying, but go ahead and ask us questions. We're prepared to ask any questions, hard or easy.
Okay, let's go to the board for questions on this project. And maybe I'll start with a classic question we've been asking everybody, which is, can we just take more loan as suggested by the affordability outlined by DEQ?
So we've done a lot of searching through our finances recently. I'm sure a question would be the 60-40 that we're asking for. When we originally started this, we were in negotiations with the council to try and raise our sewer rates and our water rates. Both of those funds need to be increased to cover our costs, and so we needed to be proactive in doing that. Having said that, there was some difficulty in figuring out what the rates should be set to, and we couldn't necessarily arrive at a point where the council was comfortable with that rate before we submitted our application to CIB. So, or before we had our public hearing, I should say. Right before, we discussed a lot about what our finances are, and I think you'll notice that in one of the appendixes that's been submitted to you, that we have a sewer bond payment that in 2025 will increase almost double, if not a little bit more than double. And because of that, we indefinitely increased our sewer rates by $4 to start with beginning January 1st this year. And then I believe I submitted a resolution to Candace so that hopefully you all have that, that shows that the city is going to increase the sewer rate. And this is the base rate by a dollar a year through 2025, which will allow us to make that bond payment. Having said that, this will definitely increase what's going to have to come out of our funding for the sewer project. And we don't necessarily have that. So we're definitely going to have to increase sewer rates again to cover the cost of this project. And so that's why we submitted 60-40, is because we're really hopeful that we won't have to make it such a burden on our residents that it won't be a doable project for us. Our current rate was at $27.50. When we submitted our application, that rate is now at $31.50. Our commercial users do pay more because it's based on overages. So we're probably looking at a little bit more than what DEQ gave us credit for on what they submitted to you.
Okay, we got a round of questions here. We'll start with the other Ogden down there, Commissioner Ogden.
Yes, I know that Mayor Ogden's not going to give you a lot of history here, but this project sits down in some really boggy ground, and back in 1983, I guess most of you have read through the minutes, their liners were not put in correctly at that time, and they're very uneven, which has caused some of their problems. I don't know if the board ended up getting the letter from the Department of Health or not. I know that they submitted a letter, and the problem we're having down there at their sewer lagoon is their seepage rate is about 1.5 times or 2 times higher than the allowable rule. So Richfield City's got some problems and some concerns here. A lot of this, I think they were definitely unaware of at this time that this has happened. It's almost like a surprise to them. And so I think they've done a lot of due diligence to raise these rates as they have projected to their residents at $4 in January, and they've got rates increased year after year here. So I think they've worked pretty hard on it. So that's kind of my comments. I think it's a good project, and I think they've done their homework.
Okay, let's go to Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. By golly, Ms. Jolly, you are impressive as incoming brand new city manager. Those information, did you start him last night or this morning, or the mayor just gave all the cheat sheets? I don't know, but you are impressive. Thank you, and welcome aboard. I have a few questions. I don't know who is going to be answering it, but maybe I start from the Mayor Ogden. Would you please explain why you have waited this long to fix these problems and leaks in the lagoons?
That's why we waited so long to finish, or to fix it.
Well, we had, what generated this is we had a pond that was working to our best knowledge. Our 70-acre primary pond was working, and the pipe collapsed. And that time we had to move it to the south pond, and that's when we noticed, and the health department, we asked for their assistance. We noticed, they told us, this is not going to work. This cell is not functioning. And so we took it out of service, put it in the south pond, repaired the pipe, and put it back in our primary pond, at which time, well, we know that our primary 70-acre pond that we've been using for so many years was also not turning over properly, and that was because it was nearly full. And so this project is just going to put us ahead for the next 20 years. We know that we're having growth. We just know that it needs to be done. And it had that pipe not collapsed, we'd have probably been good for a few more years, and then we would have had to do something. But this just encouraged us to get it done now and to not put it off.
Are you considering these repairs emergency at this point? Is any giving you the indication that should be done immediately or just wait another year?
We actually do consider it an emergency. Our primary cell, although we had to put the sewage back in that primary cell on the north, it is nearing capacity. And so in order to even function as it should and as it needs to, even just for now, even without growth, which is coming and it's already started, we're going to have to do something with that south cell in order to be able to just continue on the way we are with the population that we have.
Okay. And your in-kind cash that you had mentioned, is that for the replacing the south lift station or just different contribution?
No, it actually is to replace that south lift station that's not functioning properly.
That is not. Just a little bit of information, Mr. Chairman, for the board and for all of us. In our last month UDOT meeting, we had allocated $23 million part of the CARES Act to lay fiber optic along the I-70, which is going to extend the fiber opportunities from milepost 0 to milepost 116. And with the growth that the city manager is talking about, with the observation that I personally have made, and of course they have a college, a snow college there, and also other marijuana fields that are attracting a lot of tourists and a lot of investors. This is a great opportunity for us to help those small communities. And Richfield is not just going to do this for themselves. They're also helping five other communities around the neighborhood by doing this project. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Let's go to Mr. Galecki.
I knew I was on mute. I was just trying to find the button. A couple quick questions. So you spoke among yourselves as far as, you know, increasing rates. When's the last time you did a rate study? Had a rate study done?
We always look at our rates and compare them with other communities of similar size, but an actual increase we hadn't done since 2015.
And what are your current impact fees?
I'm sorry?
Your current impact fees?
Our current impact fee for sewer is approximately $615 per connection. Our water's approximately $1,900, I believe, for the water impact fee. Having said that, our sewer impact fee, we're in the process of having those updated, and this project will definitely change our impact fee.
When's the last time you updated your master plan on both water and sewer?
Sewer's 2018, water's 2012.
Sewer's 2018 and water is 2012.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
Yes.
If that's appropriate.
It's in order.
Trying to acknowledge that the, you know, $672,000 you put into, you know, project and the other projects you've done, but then also looking at DWQ that says you can, you know, afford a 67% loan, but then our tool says it's about 45%. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make a motion of we do a loan of $6,200,000 in loan, 20 years, 1.5%, and a $6,150,000 grant.
Okay, that motion's in order. Is there a second?
Chairman, Mayor Baker, I'll second that.
Okay. So a motion made by Mr. Galecki, seconded by Mayor Baker, to approve a $6,200,000 loan, 20 years, 1.5%, and a $6,150,000 grant.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, further discussion, Commissioner Ogden?
Yes, I'd make a substitute motion. I'd like to see us go back to the request that's been presented to us. We haven't been at that high interest rate all day. I'd like to keep that interest rate at least 1% or 0.5%.
I second that motion, Mr. Chairman.
So let me restate. Are you just suggesting lowering what Mr. Galecki had proposed to 1% as opposed to 1.5%, or are you suggesting a change in the loan and grant amounts?
I want to go back to the original request from Richfield City, and I would go up to 1%.
Okay, so their request is a $4,940,000 loan, 20 years at 1%, and a $7,408,000 grant. Is that correct, Commissioner Ogden?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and who was my second on that?
I did, Mr. Chairman. I did. Navi Zanotti.
So that substitute motion is in order, made by Commissioner Ogden, seconded by Mr. Zanotti. Further discussion to the motions? Commissioner Adams.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is this all of this money coming out of the large infrastructure fund, and is there enough money in the large infrastructure fund to fund this particular request?
So we have another large project that is also approved on the priority list out of the major infrastructure fund. So at the meeting next month, we will either have to do some transfers or fund these in a little bit different way to accommodate it. But the very large one that's kind of putting us in the negative is a loan. So we could transfer some bonus money pretty easily.
Mr. Chairman, we could make that also in this motion that we take that loan out of the bonus fund.
And that's fine, or we can just address it all at the funding meeting. Those are options on the table.
Okay.
I'd rather just address it all at the funding meeting. That way we can make one transfer to accommodate whatever we want to do.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Leifel?
Didn't want to spend money we didn't have, Jonathan, but if we can make some transfers, that's fine with me.
Yeah, we have it. It'll just require some transfers.
Okay.
So we can address that next time. Commissioner Lytle.
My only comment to either of the motions that have been brought to the table is that they would, and maybe this goes unsaid typically, but in this case, the notes were in the drink in the DEQ or water quality, that this be conditional that the plans and specifications for the project must be reviewed and approved by the Division of Water Quality prior to advertising the project for bids. And the only reason I bring it up is that they made it clear in their letter.
Commissioner Ogden, you want to make that a part of your motion?
Yes, we could add that to the motion.
I concur. Yes.
Okay. That's amended as such to incorporate that recommendation from water quality. Seeing no further discussion, we'll place the substitute motion before us for a vote. That is a $4,940,000 loan, 20 years at 1%, and a $7,408,000 grant with the recommendation that plans and specifications for the project must be reviewed and approved by water quality. Pam, roll call vote, please.
Treasurer Damshin, are you present?
Yes.
Your vote, please.
Yes.
Mr. Yes. Galecki?
Nay.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
No.
Mayor Baker?
No.
Mr. Stevens?
No.
Commissioner Dalton?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
No.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
And Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
And Chairman Hardy.
And Chairman Hardy.
So we're at 5-5 right now?
We are.
I am going to vote against the substitute motion. I think we need to push up a little more loan. I would be open to a little more loan, somewhere in between probably the original motion and the substitute motion. So I'll rule the substitute motion fails.
Mr. Chairman,
go back to the original motion.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman. I have 6 ayes and 5 nays in my calculation, unless I'm missing something.
You are.
I am.
You are, guys. I'm the 11th member, so we would have 10 voting members and then myself. So.
Okay, got it.
I believe the treasurer said yes twice in your defense, Nagy.
Okay. He said yes, he was present, and yes, he would vote in favor. So
can I say yes a third time?
That's going to put us over the top. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, so
thank you for the humor.
Back to the original motion is before us. That's a $6,200,000 loan, 20 years. At 1.5% and a $6,150,000 grant.
And would you amend, could there be a friendly amendment to add the recommendation from water quality?
Greg?
Sure. The pending or per water quality specifics.
Yes, the recommendation for water quality. Mayor Baker, were you our second on that?
Yes, and I'm good with that.
Okay.
Would you also consider, Craig, the 1% rather than 1.5% to be consistent with the rest of our loan for today?
Please? Sure. I would amend my motion to change it to a 1% loan instead of 1.5%.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
Mayor Baker?
Yes, and I'm good with that.
Okay. So back to our motion before us, $6,200,000 loan. 20 years, 1%, $6,150,000 grant. Pam, a roll call vote on that motion.
Treasurer Damshin?
Yes, yes.
Mr. Galecki?
Yes, yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalton?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
And Mr. Zanotti?
Aye, thank you.
All votes in the affirmative.
Great, thank you. Okay, it's on the priority list for the February funding meeting, so we can see you next month and a further discussion on that one. Thank you, Richfield. Let's go to supplemental requests. We have Wayne County. Candace, can you give us a brief description here?
Yes. There's a supplemental request on today's agenda from Wayne County. The request is for $300,000. The original funding was done June 11th, 2020. The request split they've requested is a $75,000 loan, 30-year at 0.5%, and a $225,000 grant that is in the same percentages as the original funding with the additional funding. It's the same project. They didn't change the project, but they put it out to bid, and the bids came in. The low bid was $1,162,993.56. The supplemental request is, as I said, the same terms. And with that, I will turn it over to the board.
Commissioner Adams?
Make sure I'm off mute. Yeah, I just tuned out CNN again. So I'm sympathetic to Wayne County and the condition that they're in with all the public land. I'd like to make a motion to approve the supplemental request.
Second the motion.
Seconded by Commissioner Ogden.
A motion by Commissioner Adams. We'll give the second to Mr. Zanotti. He spoke up first to approve.
I'd like
request.
To second the motion. Oh, shoot. Sorry.
The supplemental request is to grant an additional $75,000 loan, 30 years at 0.5%, and $225,000 grant. Further discussion to that motion, Mr. Galecki?
Yeah, just one question is that, you know, they trying to cut back, they took out the stucco, rock, and paving. I'm wondering if that's back in.
No, it is not.
Okay, that's too bad. I'd, would they want to put the stucco? I would think the stucco and rock would be worth putting it in as long as they're doing additional work. So That was my only question. Would you want it raised? Did the applicant want it raised as they to add that back in?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
As long as you're coming back for more money, would the applicant want to increase it to include those things?
We're actually trying to keep this in the same vein as what we got as the funding package, and if we add that in, then it really puts it over what they can afford as far
okay,
as
okay, thank you.
Okay, let's do a roll call vote on that motion.
I have a quick question, if I could.
Commissioner Lytle, yes.
Thank you. There's just some stuff that I noticed on it that 19% for engineering costs. I guess we were relying on an engineer's estimate for the project, and it ended up being $300,000 out of whack with the bids that came in. I wouldn't mind just a short explanation from the engineers. What happened?
Well, as you know, this was all put together December, January of last year as far as the original estimate. And since that time, everything as far as construction has gone through the roof. And we hope that we could get it for what we had estimated out, but it did come in higher, and it is a remote location, so everything is a little more expensive over there as far as getting the supplies, asphalt, and everything over there. So that's the only explanation I can give you, is that construction has gone through the roof. So
this is Steve Lutz, just a comment. We cut a number of things from it just to try and bring the cost down. It still wasn't enough. We didn't have any reserves. There's several features that we wish we could afford that won't even be included with this, but it's been so long. We just want to get this firehouse built. It's been a journey.
And I appreciate your responses, and I'm very sensitive to the decision makers' problems in this end of it. Thank you for all the work you did to whittle it back. We all find ourselves in dilemmas, and I appreciate the work you've done to try and make it less painful for yourselves as others. The difficulty, again, it's hard. I understand being in a remote area. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Okay, let's place that motion to a vote. Pam, roll call vote, please.
Treasurer Damshin?
Yes.
Mr. Galecki?
It wasn't working, believe me.
Thank you. Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalton?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
All votes in the affirmative.
Okay, that's approved. You guys are good to go with that supplemental.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We really appreciate your help.
Good luck.
Thank you.
We have an item that we would like to put forward for special consideration. This requires a vote of the board.
So moved.
A motion to approve special consideration.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Zanotti, second by Commissioner Dalton to consider Ashley Valley Water Improvement District under special consideration. We'll do a voice vote on this. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, chair rules of that passes with the required votes. So we have before us Ashley Valley Water Improvement District. Candace, can you give us a brief explanation on this request?
The special consideration request is from Ashley Valley Water Improvement District. They have a remaining funding from an original, the original 500 West sewer improvements of $257,000. As we went through all of the accounts and noticed that there is funding available in a lot of accounts, we contacted the applicants who had received funding to see if their project was completed. It was noted that this project could, they would like to accommodate the rest of the funding to be converted to an existing water line. They're going to convert a water line to a sewer line with the remainder of the funding. The original project was for extending a wastewater, for extending wastewater services to 29 homes. The new scope will be to utilize a recently abandoned water line and convert it to sewer line. The redundant line would be tied into the lift station at the north end and extended to the closest sewer line. So the amount remaining and from the prior project, which was also a sewer project, was $257,930. That's what's remaining in the construction escrow. This project will cost $249,450. How they came really close to what was remaining. Good job. Ashley Valley, I just want to make a note that they've been delightful to work with. So thank you for that. And that's the staff comment. Anyway, there is that.
Great. Let's just go to questions for the board. This is just a simple addition to the scope that would allow them to spend prior approved money. Go to Mr. Zanotti.
I am just so glad and happy that they're doing converting water line to sewer line, not other way around. That would have been really messy job. And with that, I would like to make a motion to approve as they request, Mr. Chairman. It's straightforward, and thank you for saving the money or being so diligent.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Zanotti and seconded by Mr. Stevens to approve the change in scope. Further discussion? Seeing none, we'll go to a roll call vote on this. Pam?
Treasurer Damschen?
Yes.
Mr. Galecki?
Aye.
Commissioner Ogden?
Aye.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Dalton?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
And Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
All votes in the affirmative.
Great. Ryan, did you want to say anything? Sorry, I didn't give you any time there, but
no, that's just, it is, Candace mentioned that it's been a pleasure. It's been a reverse. Candace is fantastic to work with, and this board, we are so appreciative of what you do, not only for us, but for the communities that you represent, and we're thrilled to work with you, and once again, thank you very much.
Okay, so Chair Rose, that motion is approved, and you guys are ready to go on that change of scope, so we'll incorporate that in. We've got left item 9, board member discussion and action items. Just a reminder of our funding meeting next month, February 4th. And then we also have a follow-up from our last board meeting on procurement. So I know, Candace, you had sent some stuff out that had been provided by Chris, which was a follow-up to kind of clarify how this process would roll forward under our policy that's been adopted by the board, which is to utilize state purchasing for a project over $1 million, how that would really work with state purchasing. So anything you want to add to this, Candace?
We followed up because of the offering by Chris Hughes, who spoke clearly about state purchasing. He provided what you see on your screen, which is a flow chart, which is what he offered. Now, the staff can, because the board has approved the requirement that they use state purchasing for applications over $1 million, the staff will let the applicant know early on so that they can contact state purchasing. State purchasing is very good about holding their hand from that time. It needs to be noted that state purchasing does not make their decisions for them. It will still be up to the entity to select their provider. They have to use state purchasing. If they find something else out, there will be an exemption for using something that isn't recommended by state purchasing or doesn't come through the state purchasing flow. But does the board have any questions? It was suggested that the board would rediscuss whether it's a requirement or a recommendation. Right now, it is a requirement. But I believe what needs to be clearly established is when that goes into effect.
I have one question.
Go to Mayor Baker first, and then we'll go to you, Commissioner Vidal. Mayor Baker. Right.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to put whether, you know, we decide anything or not. I like this little diagram. I was wondering if that was could become part of our application as an attachment that they when the applicant goes through there, they look at that process and understand how to, you know, go through state purchasing with that possibility.
Yes, right now the application is itself, but there is the guidelines that talk through the process, and we will certainly, because this is indicated in the summary of how to apply for CIB funds, we will add this there. It won't be an application attachment. It will be a guideline.
Yeah, and that's, I didn't mean to actually attach to the application, but so that they pick up the package or go through it, they've got this before them. Whether we accept it as required or as an, you know, available option, I think it's still something good that some entities don't know.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Lytle?
A clarification to make sure I understood it correctly with what Candace had said. If they deviate from who state purchasing would recommend, then they would have to have their justifications to go along with their choice, and they'd have to be justifications that would be allowable within either our policy as we've adopted state purchasing guidelines, or is that what you were saying?
So the state purchasing isn't going to recommend somebody. I mean, it's the entity that still has to score the vendors, and there's obviously a lot of criteria that goes into scoring, not just price. So it's still the entity's responsibility to review and score the application. State purchasing just makes sure that it's proper for posting, and then they'll review the evaluation documents done by the public entity. But it's not state purchasing doing the evaluation or making the recommendation, if that clarifies anything.
Okay, yes, it does. And then maybe along with what Mayor Baker was saying, if there's an opportunity to, whether it's in the packet or not, but be supplemental to the policy in whatever form the policy takes, or guidelines, whatever we're, I guess it's policy that we're, whether it's a shall or a may, that this be included in it as informational to the applicants ultimately.
Yeah, and we will likely have some staff time guiding folks through this process that are over the $1 million threshold, if that's where we continue to stand. So we'll
Thank
be helpful
you.
As well. Mr. Znati.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't need the flow charts. I don't need application. All I want to know is my SUV is getting old, 275,000 miles on it, that I've used it all for the state board meetings. When do I get a new vehicle? All I've got is so far is the calendar from CIB and this jacket from UTA and UDOT. I need a new vehicle in order to attend the meetings anymore. So that's my request. Where do I put it?
Take it out of state purchasing.
Well, I don't really know how to answer that question, Nagi. So maybe Candace has the answer. She wants to speak next anyway. So
Nagi, I've heard that Utah Transit Authority is expanding service, so I think that'll probably cover it for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Remember that I voted for you. Thank you.
I'm a can-do, get-her-done guy, Nagi. What can I say?
Well, I know you are. Thank you.
Candace, go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to say that maybe Nagi needs to reconsider the vehicle purchase and get a computer purchase because we're all, you know, Zooming. But also, according to David Damshin, they're expanding their UTA service, but they're also decommissioning buses. How about that? And then he can take us all. That flow chart that you saw, there has been an offer, and as staff has looked at it, Paul has offered to kind of make that a clearer form. So if you don't see that actual chart posted with our summary, it's a different chart, and it might look a little different. I just wanted to make the board aware, yes, a chart will be up there, but it won't be that chart. It will be the same flow, just...
It may look a little nicer, is what Candace is delicately trying to say.
Some user friendly
creators try to create those flow charts, and they don't look nearly as good as people who know how to professionally put that together. So,
thank you. That's all I have to say.
Let's go to Commissioner Dalton.
Yeah, I apologize. I had to leave the meeting the last time early, and you were still talking about this. This is a total project, not a single item, $1 million, correct?
Yes, the total project would need to be over $1 million to have to go through this flow chart. Yes.
Yeah, just the total project. And then also, I believe there was a statement made by state purchasing that this would not put a time burden on the applicants. They said that they could turn it around fairly quickly. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is correct.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So Mayor Baker.
Okay. One of the questions that I'm still not clear on is, say an entity already has a procurement policy, can they use that, or are they required to go to use state purchasing policy? And if they do can use their own, does the state just do a review? I mean, there's some still little questions, because now, little small entities don't probably have any purchasing, but some of the bigger ones may have their own purchasing policy already in place. I could see the state maybe doing a review of that policy. I just don't want to get it cumbersome that people don't know what they're doing.
So right now, our policy contemplates that any project under $1 million, they would need to follow state's procurement code, which is if they have a purchasing policy that they could follow it. So that's anything under $1 million. Everything over $1 million would need to run through this flow chart. It's still the entity's responsibility to score applications, but the state purchasing would review the solicitation that they want to put out, post it, compile the responses, and submit it to the public entity to score it, and then review the scores afterwards. That's what the flow chart says. So that's what's being contemplated for anything over $1 million.
And I'm guessing that that's to ensure best practices.
Yeah, that was the recommendation from the legislative auditors that we consider a threshold to require them to go through state purchasing. And again, I think the delineation we want to make is it's state purchasing is not making the selection. They're just guiding a process through for projects over $1 million and then working with the public entity so they can make the selection. And so what our policy that we've said for right now is that this was going to go into effect January. We really haven't approved any projects for funding. That's going to come in the February funding meeting. So it would apply to the policy as we've kind of got it crafted right now would apply to anything approved at the February funding meeting over $1 million. We'd want them to go through this process and therefore that's what we have on the books right now. Candace?
Yeah, sorry, me again. I just want to remind the board in case there is any confusion. This has been moved and seconded and approved that the state procurement code shall be abided by. So that is the code that they must adhere to. They can embellish that and increase the requirements in their entities. But the board also has right now it as a requirement. The cap list or the new CIB application list has been deemed to be in effect. I mean, the board voted and moved and approved that it would not be amended. But since there's been some miscommunication, that will go into effect and be part of the board policy manual in June for fiscal year 2022. So this is in effect as of January 1 and February funding meeting. We will encourage all those applications and all those projects that are over $1 million to go through state purchasing. We'll have that flow chart ready and they'll be, we will certainly hold their hand. But right now it's a requirement and state procurement code is the established benchmark. So, and the board has voted on that and approved it.
The treasurer to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of quick comments. You probably all know I'll always have a comment on procurement matters. And I don't want to be a broken record or repeat things I've mentioned in the past, but I wanted to mention that if I haven't said it before, and I think I have, but I've worked on an awful lot of procurements over the years, not just in my 11 years in the treasurer's office, but in my 20 years in the banking industry as a vendor, responding to some very highly formal, complex RFPs from primarily the corporate sector, but also corporate and the government sector as well. So I've worked on a lot more procurements than I would prefer to. I also, you may not know, when I meet with incoming legislators, I do agency overviews with them so they know the boards that I serve on, so they know all that the Office of State Treasurer and the Division of Unclaimed Property do. One of the first things I make clear to them is you may think that because a state is a state and we have 20-some thousand employees that the Office of State Treasurer is some big thing, and it's not. In the Office of State Treasurer, we have 10 people. So when you think about how, you know, the average city, county, district, dealing with state procurement code, you say, oh, you know, we have a small staff. We don't have people that specialize in purchasing and procurement. Well, neither do I. You know, my staff of 10 is probably quite similar to a lot of local governments in terms of our horsepower, the time and energy that we have to commit to complex procurement. There is a vendor relationship defined in code. That is with the state's municipal advisor. We bid that out every 5 years. I've been involved in that procurement now 3 times. The first 2 times I did it over the last 10 years, it was a lot of brain damage and it didn't turn out well. And that had nothing to do with the purchasing division or procurement code. It had to do with process. The most recent and third time that this procurement was done, and every time we do this, we work in conjunction with purchasing division. Most recent time that we did it, purchasing division was able to say, hey, did you know that there have been these, what I consider to be really excellent changes to procurement code that would allow you to do X, Y, and Z? And the bottom line is they always provide very helpful insight and support, and they understand procurement code better than any of us can or want to because they're immersed in it day in and day out. And they were they were heroes on this third procurement. It's the best procurement of the state's municipal advisor that has ever occurred. And as I said, the two not so successful procurements were not the fault of the purchasing division. It was more process. But I will say this third procurement for the state's municipal advisor was excellent in virtually every way. And I would credit the purchasing division and very positive changes to our procurement code for how relatively well that procurement went for my tiny little staff. So I just want to throw that out there, Mr. Chair. I know there's a lot of history and folks have had experiences with state purchasing in the past, in some cases a very distant past. That's not an age comment. Yes, it is. I would just encourage folks to keep an open mind and understand that state purchasing division can add tremendous value to the process. I don't think that people generally look at it that way, but that's certainly my perspective based on the experiences I've had with them over the years. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mayor Baker.
All right. And I appreciate, I'm still trying to get a little handle on it, and I appreciate Treasurer's comments. I think I'm starting to understand it a little here. What we're asking is, and let me just kind of throw out a little scenario. Say an entity has a more strict procurement code than even what state purchasing has. Once state purchasing reviews what they're wanting to do and gives their blessing, it doesn't matter if they want to be more strict or if what state purchasing said this is recommendation, they can and be a little more lax if they want to in what they're asking, you know, from state procurement. But if I understand this right, once they ask for the recommendation from state purchasing, do they get a recommendation back from the state purchasing, the entity does, and then does Candace get a copy of that with the application so that you are satisfied that they've done the process?
So I think what we envision is we're going to verify that they followed this policy. Our staff will verify that. This is, you know, before contracts and money goes out the door, that they followed the procurement policy the board has adopted. So depending on the dollar threshold, that will determine what needs to be done by the entity.
They will self-identify that they did. Because we'll look at it, but the in-house process that they go through, they have to do that, but they have to self-identify because we're not going to sit in the chair next to them and say, this is what you do.
They'll need to document it, and our staff will verify the documentation. That's what I mean by we will verify.
Sure. And I realize that before any monies or funding goes out that would have to happen. And it'd be as simple if they didn't turn that in, you'd just have to make a phone call or a letter saying, hey, we need this. And so
yeah, if they want money, they're going to have to provide it. So there'll be a checkpoint there to get it done.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think I'm kind of understanding it. So sorry for all the questions.
That's fine. So we have a policy approved and in place. We don't have to do anything. If we're good with it moving forward, we have a better understanding with it. We can revisit this a little bit as we get some experience under our belt to see if things are moving well and if we need to make any modifications or not. So those are all things on the table as we go along. Commissioner Lytle, you had a comment?
I'm very good with going forward with it as long as we understand that the state we've adopted, at least at different, the state procurement code in essence as ours, if I understand that correctly, and that the state procurement code does allow entities, as you stated earlier, to have their own code as long as it's no less stringent than the state code. It is a way to say it, I think. And it's not, to me, that's not a fearful thing. It's what we deal with as entities, although some entities may not be up to that standard. It will be a stretch in a positive sense to improve the program. The $1 million part of it, that threshold, I like And I really appreciate, it was the director, correct, from purchasing that spoke with us last month?
Chris.
Mm-hmm. Chris. His approach and ability to explain it. And the spreadsheet scares the heck out of me because I understood it. So that's worrisome. So I'm very good, and I appreciate the treasurer's comments and everyone else's. I don't, if there's anything that bites us later, I don't think it's intentional, and we can deal with it as it comes. If there's unintentional consequences or something that leads us into a different area of discussion. But from a good faith standpoint, I'm very good with where we're at. Candace mentioned one other thing very quickly, and that was the miscommunication or less than accurate communication relative to the list and the amendability of the list or lack of amendability. That doesn't go into effect until June 30. Is that what I heard?
Well, so correct me if I'm wrong, Candace, that what we're doing is we'll be training on this new policy. So when the capital improvement list gets, or the CIB application list gets established in, is it June or April, Candace?
They have to have it in now because the board moved and voted to change the date of its due. It used to be April 1, now it's May 1. So May 1, the new list will be to CIB in time, barely, for the June 1 application deadline for fiscal year 22.
Okay. So yeah, those lists that we get on May 1 are the ones that fall under this policy of not getting amended that we discussed. So that's.
So on the amending part of it or the discussion, I think we did that at the request of the staff.
RPPs, I think that were involved in that discussion. A pretty broad stakeholder group just to make sure that we're addressing and treating the application list like we've intended it to do, which is we want to plan ahead for these projects, make sure they're prioritized in conjunction with everything else. And, they shouldn't be changed regularly if we're doing long-term planning on that. There's still exceptions for cases of emergency and public health and safety. Those types of things can be addressed with the board suspending its policy on that. So that there are still emergency situations that can come up, but we didn't want to see that application list changed over and over during the course of the year.
Less fluid, as it were.
Yeah. Okay. I see no further comments, so we can conclude this discussion. We don't have any other items on the agenda, so we really only have one other motion to consider.
Chairman.
Adjourn.
Yes, second that.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn before us. All in favor, say aye.
Jonathan.
Bruce aye. Adams.
Jonathan, Bruce. I have one emergency I need to take care of.
Okay, Bruce.
Nagy's whining about a new car. I just want a horse. Forget the car. I just want a horse.
We'll have all to right. See if you can sustain. Buying the horse is cheap. It's the rest of it.
You guys are. I just hope it's not that $1 million threshold.
You guys are pretty high maintenance. I'd settle for a skateboard.
Hey Bruce, there's a lot of free ones out there on the range, and I'll bet Mike Dalton over there could help you out.
Sounds good.
Hey, I was just down in Kanab at Mike Noel's favorite place, Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. They have a few horses down there, too.
Maybe I can get a dog with it.
Yeah. A dog or two or ten. And maybe
did we get off the record and adjourned? Did we get off the record and adjourned yet?
I think we have voted and we are officially adjourned. So thank you, everybody, for joining us.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.